happens.
Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book, now is the time to check us out. Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
I'm with my class, so I had to go back to high school for a final semester. So I was supposed to graduate in 1973, and we say in the book that I graduated in 1973 and a half. That's when I graduated. But I kept doing it, and I met one of my best friends in high school, who's remained one of my best friends for years, Jeff Perry, who's a well-known actor here in town, and then he was in the play, West Side Story, and Jeff and I became fast friends, best friends, did a lot of work together in high school. He went off to college, and then I started Steppenwolf Theater, and he came and worked with us in one play, and then we founded what has become a theater that's lasted for 45 years now.
Can you talk a little bit about Steppenwolf Theater? So for folks who don't know, Steppenwolf Theater is now one of the most storied theaters in the country. And you were obviously a founder of it. What was the original idea of it, and what do you think the legacy of it has been?
Well, the original idea was just kids wanting to do plays. That was it. We just wanted to, you know, kind of in that Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland, let's put on a play kind of thing. And we did that, and we found a church kind of that would let us use the church during the week, and we would rehearse our plays and perform them on the, you know, on Friday and the Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And that became the foundation of Steppenwolf Theater. You know, it was really started by 18-year-old kids, 17, 18-year-old kids. And now this theater, as I said, this was 1974 we got this going, so it's 45 years old now. We own four buildings. We're building another one. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you look back at it and you see what teenagers with a passion and a dream and a desire and enough energy and kind of this you don't know what you don't know kind of attitude gets you. And it laid the groundwork for something that we built as we moved from Highland Park, Illinois, into the city of Chicago, renovated another space that David Mamet had originally started. We took that over. We were in there for 8 years, and then we built a building from the ground up, and now we own three or four buildings in the same area.
I mean, it is a pretty amazing American story, and something that probably could only happen in America, that the high school screw-up could be doing this sort of stuff just, you know, through sheer willpower and creativity, because we now live in a time when people tend to spend a lot of time thinking about how victimized they are, how difficult they've had it. You sound like you didn't come from a background where you were significantly privileged beyond sort of the normal privilege of living in the United States.
My dad, and I write about the family in the book, my dad was a film editor in Chicago. He started learning the film business when he was in the Navy. He processed film that was being – he was in the Navy during the Korean War. At one point they said, do you want to go on a ship or you want a camera? And he took the camera and he started taking pictures. Then they put him in the lab at the Pentagon, you know, Anacostia. It's a naval base right there, in DC. And they put him in there and he was receiving the top secret film that was coming back from the front in Korea. And he had top secret clearance and he would process this film and take it over to the Pentagon and they would analyze the war footage to help them with their battle plans and things like that. So he learned the film business. He was editing things and all that. And then when he got out of the Navy, he went back to Chicago and started his own film company. He made a modest living. It wasn't the tremendous living, but he moved us from the South Side where I grew up in, I was born in Blue Island, Illinois, lived in Harvey, Illinois. And then we moved up to the northern suburbs of Highland Park, and that's where I went to school. That's where I got into acting. That's where I met Jeff Perry. That's where Steppenwolf started. And it was really, I was kind of a kid who was always kind of aimless. My dad was working all the time. I describe it in the book, and I was sort of on my own. My mom had her hands full dealing with my sister and my brother and her mother and her sister. And I was just kind of crazy out there learning things on my own, trying to figure it all out. So I at an early age, I think I learned this sort of do-it-yourself, go at it. If you can think it, you can do it sort of attitude. You know, don't wait around for somebody to hand you something. And so that's where all that came from. And I continued to do that as time went on.
So how did you get from Chicago out to Hollywood? So my own parents, my dad and mom are both from Chicago. They ended up in Hollywood because my dad wanted to do scoring for films. That was a dream that never worked out for him. How did you end up out here?
Well, it's a combination of things. I started Steppenwolf with my buddies, Jeff Perry and Terry Kinney. And then my parents, in 1977, they moved to L.A. from Chicago because my dad was a film editor. He had a business in Chicago. They wanted to open a West Coast office. So he opened that office out here in 1977. In 1979, I took a little break and came out here. Took a little break from Steppenwolf, came out here, lived with my parents to try to get in the movie business. There's some funny stories about some of the things I did back then. But it didn't work out. I just really struggled. I couldn't get in the door. I was trying to sneak onto lots. I was trying to audition for things. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get an agent. You know, it was just a terrible time. They kept telling me to go to get acting lessons, and I had this theater company in Chicago that I worked with, and they said, and I would tell them about that, and they said, well, I never heard of it. Go get some lessons. And so it was really frustrating time. So I went back to Chicago, went back to my theater company, ended up being the artistic director, started directing a lot and directing plays. And some of the plays that I was doing just hit. One of them was called True West by Sam Shepard. John Malkovich and I were in that together, and we moved it to New York. It was the first play that we moved to New York from Steppenwolf. Malkovich was an early member of the company. We worked together a lot, and did that play, and it was just a big hit. It was huge. It was a big hit for us. We moved it to New York. First thing there, Malkovich became a movie star after doing that play. And I kept directing. Went back to Chicago, kept directing. Ended up doing some plays that were really doing well. One of those plays was called Orphans, that John Mahoney, rest his soul, was in, along with Kevin Anderson and Terry Kinney. We did it off Broadway. It was a big hit. And I was offered a movie deal by David Putnam, who he produced Chariots of Fire. He produced The Mission. He produced Killing Fields. He was a big producer, and they gave him a job running Columbia Pictures. And he came to see that play, and eventually they offered me a directing deal at Columbia Pictures. And I was running Steppenwolf and doing things at Steppenwolf, and I felt, well, it was time to kind of break away, do some other things. So I came out here and took that deal and was with Columbia Pictures for a couple of years trying to find something to direct for them. That was our deal. It was a first-look deal. So they got the first look at anything that I wanted to do. I never found anything that they wanted to do, but I found another project that I ended up doing for another studio. And that was the first movie I directed, called Miles from Home, with Richard Gere and Kevin Anderson, Brian Dennehy, Helen Hunt, Penelope Ann Miller, a bunch of people were in that. And, it was a good first try. But eventually, I think my second movie was much better. It was Of Mice and Men. I knew that story very, very well. Malkovich and I had done it on stage, like 10 or 12 years before I directed the movie, so I was able to get the rights from Elaine Steinbeck to make that into a movie, and I was a little more sure-handed, I think, at that one. But that it was 1987, when I moved to Hollywood, and then after Of Mice and Men, Forrest Gump came along, and, there you go.
Coming up, you're about to listen to more from a Sunday special episode with Gary Sinise. Stick around. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of the hit podcast Slow Burn. I'm here to tell you about a new podcast I'm working on. It's called 5 to 4.
Where we dissect and analyze the cases that have swarmed American life like locusts over a grassy plain.
Every week, Peter, Rhiannon, and Michael are going to take on a legally dubious Supreme Court decision.
And that rule just so happens to benefit the interests of wealthy and powerful people. Powerful people.
Listen and subscribe to 5 to 4. Free.
That's right.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we're listening to a Sunday special episode that I did with my good friend Gary Sinise. You came out here as a director, and yet I think most people know you more as an actor than they do as a director. What is the difference for you between being behind the camera, in front of the camera? Which do you prefer? And did it help you to, as an actor, to be a director in theater?
It helped me as a director to be an actor. I would say, because most of what I know as a director is from working with other actors and being an actor myself. So I would direct from an actor's point of view. How can we make this, dramatically viable in the story? How can we punch up this energy here? How can we do that? You know, how would I play it? You know, I think. You know, maybe I can have some ideas about that and impart those to other people. But and how do you shape the story, you know, to have it be compelling? So I'm always looking at that. And what I know about directing movies or, you know, which I've only done a couple of, is what I know about acting and directing plays, you know. So I just kind of, you know, I didn't study all that. I went to high school. I didn't go to college. I just went right into founding Steppenwolf Theater and working in this basement of a Catholic school, actually, is where the original Steppenwolf was in Highland Park. And there was this big empty basement at this closed down Catholic school. And we asked the priest if he'd let us use it. And he did. and we paid them like $1 a year for a tax write-off. And so in there, we developed our skills. You know, we were isolated. We weren't in the city of Chicago where there, you know, there's a lot of other theater there. We were in Highland Park, Illinois. There's only one little theater there, and it was us. So we weren't distracted by a lot of other things, and we stayed in the basement and just worked on our skills, worked on our work, kind of tuned up the way we approached things. Our whole ensemble approach was developed in those early days when we were kids, and I've carried that through all these years of directing and acting, carried it, all those fundamentals that we learned as kids, you know, stay there. And we learned it together, really.
So you've done theater and you've done film and you've also done a lot of TV. I mean, I want to ask you about the transition from film to TV. So now TV is not considered a step down. For a long time there, it was like if you were in the films and then you went to TV, that was considered a step down. Now you're seeing all sorts of mainstream actors, big actors, and for whom it's a step up to move to TV. You were really one of the pioneers in that, actually. What was it like to move from the big screen to the small screen? Was that a bit of a culture shock, or how did that work?
It was a little bit. I remember being a little hesitant about it. I mean, I was offered a television series in 2004. And I had done a few little television things prior to that. I did a television movie with James Woods in 1989 called My Name is Bill W. Played a good supporting role in that. Had a couple episodic roles. But nothing. I was always looking for the big movie part or the big part on stage or something like that. Never considered settling down into a television series until it was presenting itself to me. And then, you know, it was CSI New York, and it was already a successful franchise. They had done CSI Vegas, and then there was CSI Miami, and now they were going to spin off the third show within 4 years or something like that. I mean, CSI Vegas came out 2 years later. They had another show in Miami, and 2 years after that, they had another show they were putting up in New York, CSI New York. So, I mean, they spun this franchise off very quickly, and I knew they had a lot invested in this franchise. CBS was going to put a lot into it. I met with Anthony Zeiker, who created the CSI franchise, had a good meeting with him. We had a good talk, and I was, you know, at that time I was very focused on supporting our military. It was post September 11th. I was working with veterans. I was supporting FDNY in New York and Fire Family Transport Foundation and 9/11 family members who had been affected by that terrible tragedy. Anthony wanted my character to be somebody who was affected personally by September 11th, lost his wife on September 11th. He's also a police officer. I knew a lot of veterans and police officers and who were personally affected by that. So I connected to the idea of playing a 9/11 family member and a first responder pretty quickly because I had been supporting them. And once I got through the idea, the question of what will it be like to play the same guy week after week after week after week, once I got through that, you know, all the other things were staring me at the face, in the face. Steady work, staying home, a good franchise, paycheck, all these things. And if it's successful, there it would be, you know, a very rewarding personally and financially, which it was. So it was the right thing at the right time to go from, you know, what I was doing to television. And after the first year of struggling through figuring out what the show was and everything like that, I really embraced the idea that I was playing the same guy every week and had this steady job. And during that period, and I write about it in the book, all the things I was doing to help the military and to support various military charities and all this stuff, the fact that I had that steady work and had that that job gave me a means to support many things that I believed in that I never dreamed about. And it really was, there's the chapter in the book where I talk about this is called Perfect Timing. And the timing could not have been better to, you know, with what I was doing on my charitable side and the service work and getting handed this television series.
Coming up, more with Gary Sinise. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I!
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Can't make the transition to film, people who are successful on film who can't make the transition to stage. You've done all three. Which did you prefer? What were sort of the upsides and downsides?
You know, I prefer employment. that's what I would say there. And I like being involved in things that kind of make sense to me. That's it. You know, I've directed, I've acted in all the mediums, and you know, the parts that I've done on stage have been very rewarding generally, you know. What I've done in film and television has generally been rewarding and valuable, and I don't feel like it's been time unwell spent. So it's hard to say, Ben, you know, that I prefer one over the other. Each one has given me something special, and, you know, I've done what I think is good work in all those mediums.
Well, the book also obviously goes into deep detail and I think necessary detail about your relationship with the U.S. military. So when did you first start getting involved with all of your outreach efforts on behalf of the military, with first responders, with police across the country? Did it start with Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump, or were you doing work with the military before that?
Well, that was certainly part of it. And, you know, the Forrest Gump character was a wounded veteran, lost both his legs, and suffering terribly from post-traumatic stress. And playing that part led me to start working with our wounded 25 years ago. I mean, Forrest Gump came out 25 years ago this year. So June 6th, this summer, it'll be 25 years. That was certainly a part of getting involved with our wounded. But prior to that, actually, I began supporting Vietnam veterans groups in the Chicago area, getting involved with supporting them back in the early 80s. My wife's two brothers served in Vietnam, and her sister's husband also was a combat medic in Vietnam. So when I met her in 1970, really, we started dating, and we got married in 81. We started dating in 76. She was a part of the early history of Steppenwolf, the early ensemble. She introduced me to her brothers and her sister's husband, and I asked them about Vietnam. I started talking to them. I was 18 years old in 1973. It was the last year of combat operations in Vietnam. The draft was over in 1983. I recall registering for the selective service, but the draft was over. So, and I remember during high school, I'm doing all those plays. I'm playing in my rock band. I'm chasing those girls into the auditions and everything like that. And every night on television during that time, there are casualty reports. There are terrible stories about Vietnam, and my mom is watching the television like this, and I'm calling my girlfriend and figuring out what the set list is going to be, and I wasn't really paying attention all that much. But when I met those family members of my wife, and they started talking to me about what it was like for them to be in Vietnam, and then what it was like for them to come home from Vietnam to a nation that had turned its back on our military and had rejected the Vietnam veteran, something happened to me. I just started thinking about that a lot. And I remember taking over as artistic director for Steppenwolf. And one of the things I wanted to do was find some material that I could do that was focused on the stories of Vietnam veterans. And I read this, so as an artistic director, you're always looking for plays, and you get all these publications from different cities that have the list of plays that are going on in those cities and what's going on. So I would do that, and I got one thing that was from L.A. called the Drama Log. It was kind of what's going on in sort of the small theaters in L.A., and I read this story about a play that was written by a group of Vietnam veterans, and where they were actually performing the play that they wrote. So every night, these guys would recreate their own stories of what happened to them in Vietnam on stage. And it got very good reviews. It was a big hit. It sounded very powerful. I immediately got on an airplane and flew out to see it. It's 1980. And I was just knocked out. I went back the next night and saw it again. And I went home to Chicago, and I wrote to the guys that did it. And I said, would you consider letting me do this play to tell your stories that you're telling yourselves on stage every night? Would you let me do that? And they said, no. It should only be performed by veterans. We don't want anybody to do it but veterans. Eventually, the play closed in Los Angeles, and I just kept asking them, you know, what are you going to do with it? Well, no. And eventually, we were doing a play in Chicago that Malkovich had directed. And it was called Balm and Gilead by Lanford Wilson. And it was high performance. It took place in a diner, like a seedy diner in New York. So it's got all the night people out there, the hookers and the pimps and the drug addicts and the junkies and the crazy people running around. It was like 38 people on stage, all just being crazy, you know. And it was very high energy, and we put Springsteen music in it. We put Tom Waits music in it. We put Ricky Lee Jones. It was just very, you know, it was very Steppenwolf. That was kind of our thing. And so I said to this guy, John DeFusco, who had created this play, Tracers, about these Vietnam veterans, I said, come see it. So he flew out, he saw it, and he loved it. And then he gave me the rights to do the play. I did it there. Veterans from all over the area came to see the play. A lot of Vietnam veterans. And this isn't 1984. So this was, you know, the Vietnam veteran wall had just opened in 1982. So this was still a time where Vietnam veterans were just not used to coming out of the shadows and telling their stories. But our play became this rallying point, and veterans would come from all over. And we ended up creating a night at Steppenwolf every week that was just simply for the veterans. And that began a series of events and things that laid the bedrock for my veterans work going into the 90s and then post September 11th.
So let's talk a little bit about Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan and how that changed your perspective on the military. So obviously you were already incredibly pro-military. You already wanted to tell the stories of people who had served and done that amazing work. What changed your perspective about playing Lieutenant Dan?
I remember when I did Of Mice and Men, and that, I think, got the attention a little bit of the producers of Forrest Gump. At least it got me an audition. You know, here's a guy who directed and produced and is one of the two main guys in the movie. That got the attention of the producers and the director, Robert Zemeckis, so I got an audition. And I read it, and I was going to audition to play a Vietnam veteran. And here I was, you know, had been supporting Vietnam veterans for 10, 12 years at that point in various ways. Very much wanted to play that part. Just, you know, I directed that play, Tracers. I had a cast of guys that were just amazing in it, all playing the Vietnam veterans. I wanted to be them. I wanted to be up there doing that myself, but I was the director, and it was my passion project. Now here's an opportunity for me to play a Vietnam veteran in a way to honor my wife's two brothers and her sister's husband and all the many Vietnam veterans that I had a story of a Vietnam veteran that actually ends well up until that point. You know, they started making movies about Vietnam about 1978, 3 years after the fall of Saigon. And there was The Deer Hunter and Coming Home and Casualties of War, and these various movies started. But you always wondered at the end of those films if the Vietnam veterans was going to be okay. At the end of every one of those movies, you're just not sure if he's going to be okay. At the end of Coming Home, one of them kills himself, you know.
And at the end of The Deer Hunter.
You know, yeah, at the end of The Deer Hunter, you're just like, it was always tragic, and you just didn't see any way for the Vietnam veteran to be okay. Along comes Forrest Gump, and he goes through all that same despair and anguish and heartbreak and, you know, loneliness and anger and all these things. But what happens at the end of that story? He's successful. He's wealthy. He's married. He's moving on with his life. He's standing up on new legs. You know, he's moving on. And it's a happy ending for a Vietnam veteran. We hadn't seen that movie, that story, but yet that story was the story of many Vietnam veterans. It just hadn't been told. There were many Vietnam veterans who came back, and while there are many that struggled for many, many years, there were also many that were able to put their service years behind them and move on in business and be okay. And here along comes Lieutenant Dan, and that's his story. So I very much wanted to play that part. I was lucky to get it. It introduced me to an organization called the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, which I've supported now for 25 years because, you know, almost 25 years ago, about a month after the movie opened, they invited me to come to their national convention. I tell the story in the book, and they gave me an award for playing Lieutenant Dan. And they wanted to honor me for playing Lieutenant Dan in what they thought was an honest portrayal of a catastrophically injured soldier. And they just felt it was so many of the members of the DAV are Vietnam veterans themselves. They just wanted to recognize that work. And that began a relationship that, as I said, has lasted 25 years. Every year I go to their national convention, I play concerts for them, I've done PSAs, I've done fundraising, different things for them, many friends within the DAV. We have a program at my foundation that's in partnership with the DAV. That really started me focusing on our wounded. Then along comes September 11th, and we deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan. Our guys started, gals, you know, our folks started getting hurt, started getting killed. And I just could not sit by and do nothing. You know, that was such a devastating attack on our country. And now we were deploying in reaction to that. And it was also became kind of a divisive time because, as you recall, during the Iraq War, after we went into Iraq in 2003, then 2004, 5, 6, 7, things started getting worse. There was an insurgency. There was Abu Ghraib. There was all these things. During those years, you could just see it. I mean, what was happening in the coverage of it was very similar to what had happened in the Vietnam War. Things were just not going well. And, you know, I just pictured our guys sitting over there watching television thinking, gosh, things are not going well, and I'm sitting right here. And they're saying it on the news every night. And I didn't want our folks deploying in reaction to that terrible event, people that were signing up because of those airplanes going into those buildings, I didn't want them to feel that they were being neglected or that the country was going to turn its back on them or something. And it was a divided time, if you recall. Some people supported George Bush and the efforts to go into Iraq and Afghanistan. Some people didn't. And it was a very divided time. And I wanted to help. You know, I wanted to help our service members get through it. So, and, you know, just personally, and I say this in the book, my heart was just broken after that terrible day. It was broken, and I needed to do something to help heal that. And I felt, having been involved with Vietnam veterans, wounded veterans through the DAV in the 80s and 90s, my role now would be to to support the active duty folks that were responding to that attack.
A little more on that in a moment. But first, if you thought the lead up to 2016 was nuts, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best place to keep you up to date on all the insanity is DailyWire.com. If you're not a member, you're truly missing out on a ton of amazing content and new features. And right now, you'll get 10% off any member plan you choose when you use promo code Shapiro. Members get our articles ad-free, access to all of our live broadcasts and show library, the full 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show, select bonus content, access to the mailbag, and more. Plus, our new all-access tier gets you into exclusive live online Q&A discussions with me, Andrew Klavan, Matt Walsh, Michael Moles, plus Daily Wire writers and special guests. And don't...
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Me against the IRS. By the time everything was completed, I didn't know the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
America's schools are closing, which can be especially tough on students who struggle with poverty, hunger, and trauma. But communities in schools can help. Our organization puts caring adults inside schools to help vulnerable students stay in school. Now, in the face of crisis, we're working beyond school walls, delivering meals to students, helping them access remote learning, doing whatever it takes to help them succeed. To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we're listening to a Sunday special episode that I did with my good friend Gary Sinise. Yeah, no, you tour plenty in with members of the military, meeting members of the military. And do you have any sort of memories that stick out of that time? Because you've obviously done a ton of it and met an enormous number of members of the armed services.
Yeah, just all throughout all the travels and everything. I tell, you know, a number of stories in the book about that have affected me and that have galvanized my passion for making sure that we don't forget what our defenders do for us on a daily basis. And some of those stories are in the book. And I remember, I tell a story about as a kid, I remember when my grandmother passed away. And she was in her 60s, and she was a heavy smoker. And she just wasted away in the hospital. And I went to see her, and I was I loved my grandmother. And I was just heartbroken seeing her just laying in the bed. And it was terrible, and I just ran out of the hospital. And I never wanted to go back to a hospital unless I was on a gurney, you know. And when I started doing USO, my first trip was to Iraq in June of 2003. Then I came back. Then I went in July, 3 weeks later, I went to Italy, visited troops there. And then about a month later, in August, I was in Germany visiting troops there. I just went boom, boom, boom. I was going. Didn't have a job at the time. And one of the things I was going to do in Germany was go to Landstuhl Medical Center, which is the main hospital in Germany where people come right off the battlefield and they go to the hospital. And they're stabilized in Germany, and then they're sent home to the States to one of the hospitals here. And I was very apprehensive about going. I was just like, what's it going to be like? You know, hospitals, I can't stand the thought of it. And I remember my grandmother withering away, and it's just... it was bad. And I thought, and now I'm going to see guys that have been blown up and shot at and burned up. And I was very nervous about it. I remember. I can remember sitting on the bus as the bus approached the hospital. And we pull in this little van and we pull up. And just as we pull up, a big bus pulls up and a whole bunch of people run out of the hospital. And they start unloading gurneys that have just come off the airplane from the battlefield, sent back to the hospital. Wires and tubes and, you know, IVs and, you know, everything. And these guys are all stabilized, but they got to get in there because they got surgery right away as soon as they get to the hospital. And that team ran out so professionally, getting them out of those buses quickly. And I just stood there and watched. This was the first thing I saw at the hospital. Like, 7 or 8 wounded guys being carried into the hospital on gurneys, all with wires and missing legs and all this. I was just like, okay, take a deep breath here, you know. And they first took me into a room that had about 30 guys in it. And these were all guys that were banged up, cuts, bruises, gunshot wounds, whatever it was. But they were going to get patched up and sent back to the battlefield. And they were all in there, and they were waiting, you know, gel on their face from burns or whatever. You know, they were going to get fixed up and sent back to the war zone. And I walked in, and I had a USO hat on, and I'm like, this is, you know, remember, this is before CSI New York. So I was Lieutenant Dan, but, you know, I hadn't done much else. So I didn't know what to say or how to start it, and somebody looked at me, and he said, Lieutenant Dan, and he burst into a smile, and they all had these 1,000-yard stares on, you know, they were quiet in there. It was quiet. Nobody was saying anything. And then one guy just lit up and started smiling and calling me Lieutenant Dan. And then everybody started coming around and laughing and taking pictures. And all of a sudden the whole mood in the room just completely changed. Nobody knew what my real name was. They just saw me from the movie, and they wanted to talk about the movie, and I saw, gosh, and then I left that room after being in there for 90 minutes or so, shaking hands and taking pictures, signing off autographs, to go upstairs to the hospital rooms. But I knew when I left that room, gosh, I just brought something into that room that was really, really positive. It changed the whole mood in the room, just showing up. So I went upstairs, and that's when I saw a lot of really badly wounded people. Some didn't even know I was there, but their family members had flown it, from the States to Germany, and they were standing over hospital beds of amputees and waiting for them to wake up. And I changed their mood just by showing up. I'll never forget that, because it started a whole journey of trying to support our wounded that I've been on ever since.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
People. Following Mr. Trump, there's going to be an 18-minute fireworks display, something the president said he was proud to help revive.
They've been wanting to do that for years, fireworks. They used to do it many years ago, and for some reason they were unable or unallowed to do it. They just weren't allowed to do it. And I opened it up.
Hours before the event, Native American protesters were in place to block a road leading to the monument. Police and National Guard soldiers moved in. A standoff ensued. Police had to use pepper spray on several protesters. An 8-year-old boy is dead. At least 3 other people injured after shots were fired near the food court inside the River Chase Galleria Mall in Hoover, Alabama, just south of Birmingham. Police don't have many details about the shooting. It happened shortly after 3 this afternoon. Investigation is, though, ongoing. The Senate took action against Chinese officials who restrict Hong Kong's autonomy by voting for sanctions before leaving town for the holiday weekend.
Senator Tom Cotton says what's happening in Hong Kong amounts to a tragedy.
A crime, an affront to the civilized world.
With global implications, Cotton says, are largely going unnoticed because of COVID-19 and domestic tensions capturing the daily headlines.
We may look back in the near future and view this moment in Hong Kong as the single biggest moment of the year.
Cotton accusing China of using the COVID-19 pandemic as cover for what he calls its crimes against Hong Kong. Bob Agnew, Washington.
2 strong earthquakes shook Puerto Rico today. No reports of injuries, though. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
It involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market, have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
A full list of countries for which quarantine against the coronavirus will not apply to people arriving back in England has been finally published.
The attempt to relax the restrictions and allow travellers from certain countries to come to the UK without having to go into isolation for 14 days has left Westminster at odds with the Welsh and Scottish administrations, which have control of public health policy. The Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon and Welsh First Minister Mark Drakeford both described the UK government's handling of the process as shambolic and accused it of inconsistency. Downing Street defended its approach and said that it had worked with the devolved administrations from the outset.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Blake. The Russian Orthodox Church defrocked a coronavirus-denying monk who defied Kremlin lockdown orders and took control of a monastery in the Ural Mountains. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A white Michigan couple faced criminal charges after one of them pulled a gun on a handgun on a black family in a confrontation, all captured on cell phone video.
Eric and Julian Westerberg were arrested after Wednesday night's confrontation outside a Chipotle in Orion Township and charged on Thursday with felonious assault. Talika Hill, who's black, told the Detroit News the confrontation happened after the white woman bumped into Hill's teenage daughter as they were entering the fast food restaurant. In video posted online, the women can be seen arguing, and after someone steps behind the Westenberg's vehicle, Jillian Westenberg jumps out and points a handgun in the direction of a person who's recording, screaming for people to get away from her and the car. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard says the couple both have concealed pistol licenses, but had to turn over all firearms as a condition of being released on bond. After the video surfaced, Eric Westenberg was fired from his job at Oakland University near Detroit. I'm Jennifer King.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
away in the back, and it ended up doing really well and getting a lot of traction, and just it's been well read.
So how much of your leadership do you think is just natural to you? Because you're talking about what I'm hearing is obviously a guy who has tremendous initiative from a very young age. I mean, to even be from a place where nobody goes into the military and just join the military takes a lot of chutzpah, as my folks would say. Do you think that it really is that leadership is born, or is it bred?
Yeah, I get asked this question all the time. And so it's both. It's absolutely both. And you as a human being are going to get certain characteristics that are going to make you a good leader, and you're going to lack some characteristics that would make you a good leader if you had them. You don't get tens across the board. You know, it's like the little video games you see kids play where you get a 9 in strength and a 7 in intellect and an 8 in dexterity. And you get those too as a leader. And you don't get all 10s. So some leadership characteristics that make you a good leader, for instance, obviously it's good to be articulate. If you can express your message clearly to people, that's gonna help you from a leadership perspective. If you have some natural charisma, that's gonna help you from a leadership perspective. If you can look at complex problems and you can simplify them, that's gonna be helpful as a leader, because that's what you're doing. So if you're persuasive, there's all kinds of things that will help you as a leader, and you're not gonna be good at all of them. And so as a leader, if you look at the ones that you're weak at, you can improve them. That's what's beneficial. So you can't take someone that's just a horrible leader and make them into an amazing leader, but you can take someone that's a decent leader and you can make them into a very good or even an exceptional leader, because you can definitely get more articulate. You can definitely get more comfortable speaking to people. You can definitely get more precise at taking very complex problems and simplifying them so that your team can understand what it is that needs to get done. So these are all things that you can improve upon. And I always have to close this out by saying that there are some people that cannot become better leaders. And the people that cannot become better leaders are the people that can't put their ego in check. They lack humility. And those people, they think they're doing everything great, so they're not going to improve as leaders. You can't coach them. You can't convince them. They think they're perfect, and they're going to stay where they are from a leadership perspective.
So what did you actually learn from the first time you went through SEAL training? Because you joined the military, and you decided to go to the hardest, well, what everybody widely across America knows, the hardest training program in America. What is that like?
The myth about SEAL training, that part of SEAL training, is that you learn anything at all. Because you actually don't. You learn some things, but it's a screening process. What they're trying to do is get rid of people that don't want to really, really, really do that job. So it's suffering. You're going to be wet, you're going to be cold, you're going to be tired, and you're going to be that for extended periods of time. And there's an 80% attrition rate. But when you make it through, you get to a SEAL team. And when you get to a SEAL team, that's when you start to actually learn about being a SEAL. That's when you learn the tactics and the leadership perspective. That's when you start to become an actual SEAL. Getting through the basic SEAL training, when you show up at a SEAL team, everyone looks at you. You come out of there thinking you just said, oh, I just went through the toughest training in the world. You get to the SEAL team, I literally checked in with the Master Chief and he said, everyone here has been through that training. No one cares. So it's very humbling when you show up. And that's when you start to learn. You start to learn when you get in a SEAL platoon.
And when it comes to, you know, getting into the SEAL platoon, how do you determine leadership positions even among people who you're initially equals with? Do you think that sort of naturally falls out, or?
There's a rank structure inside the military. There's a rank structure inside the SEAL teams, and you're going to be when you're a new guy, you're going to be the junior guy. And then the next platoon, you're going to be a little bit more senior. You'll have a couple guys working for you. The platoon chief is going to be, you know, the senior guy, enlisted guy inside of a SEAL platoon. And then you'll have an officer in charge of the whole thing. And those are pre-designated. Those are pre-designated, which was very counter to my initial thought when I joined the Navy. My dad told me I was going to hate it because I said, why do you think I'm going to hate it? He goes, because you don't like to listen to anybody and you don't like authority. And of course I told him, no, Dad, it's a team. We don't have to listen to anybody. It's a team. And I was completely wrong because there is a rank structure and you absolutely, you know, it's the military. Even though it's a team and you definitely you build relationships throughout that chain of command, and that is more prominent than in some other groups, but you still, there's a chain of command and you're going to follow that chain of command.
And there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of mandatory national service. As somebody who's gone through this program, and I've seen so many guys who are military, some of whom I knew, you know, back when they were in high school and were kind of, you know, I can't say the words on air, but they were kind of F-ups. And then they come out the other end and they're, you know, solid citizens, not only solid citizens, but really making something of themselves. What do you think of the idea of mandatory national service?
I love the idea of it, but at the same time, as an American, I don't like the idea of mandating that people do something that they don't want to do. And I think the volunteer military that we have right now it might be the best in the history of the world. We have a great military. And I think to mandate it, I think is problematic. That being said, every single person that I talk to, especially kids that are the age of, you know, 13, 14, 15, if you get the opportunity to join the military, then I would definitely recommend it because, like you said, it teaches you a lot of things.
When it comes to, you know, the application of leadership principles, how much of what you learned in leadership training at the SEALs was applicable, and how much of it was you're just in a situation and now you gotta move, you gotta figure something out? How much of it is seat of your pants kind of stuff?
Well, when I came in, we really didn't, and this is shocking, we really didn't have a process of leadership training that the leaders went through. And we would basically, the leaders would learn OJT, on-the-job training. You'd watch the person that was leading you, and then when it was your time to take over, you'd kind of emulate what they were doing. And if you had a great leader, that worked okay. If you had a bad leader, that was a real problem. And so when I came back from that deployment to Ramadi, that's one of the things I focused on, is I realized that we really needed to implement leadership training for the guys, because you're on the battlefield, leadership is the most important thing on the battlefield. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get people killed without question.
And what was sort of the, can you give me a couple of stories to sort of demonstrate that point? I mean, what's a high point of leadership that you've seen on the battlefield as opposed to a low point that you've seen in terms of leadership?
Well, one thing that's important to clarify here is when I talk about leadership, I'm not just talking about me because I was in charge of the task unit or the platoon commander because he was in charge of the platoon or even the people above me. I'm talking about every level of leadership, every person taking ownership of their piece of the mission and executing with authority and executing with real like passion about what they're doing. And so you got to have leadership at every level. And when you don't have that, it's very problematic. So what was great for me when I came back and I took over the training for the West Coast SEAL teams, I got to see, we put on the most realistic combat training, extremely stressful, very realistic. And I would get to see a platoon go through this training. And then the next night, it'd be another platoon going through the same scenarios. And then the next night, it'd be another platoon going through the same scenarios. So it was basically the most incredible leadership laboratory. It might be the most incredible leadership laboratory that's ever existed. It was that awesome to be able to put these platoons through this iterative training. And that was where it became very clear that leadership, if you had a good leader in a SEAL platoon, that SEAL platoon would do a good job. And by the way, that leader didn't need to be the senior guy. It could have been a guy that was two or three rungs down, but when things started happening, he would step up and take command and make things happen. And as long as the other leaders, maybe that were senior to them, had the wherewithal to say, you know what, this guy seems to have a grip on the situation, I'm going to let him run with it, then it would be okay. Occasionally, you'd get an egotistical leader that would feel like, oh, you're stepping on my toes, and they try and put them down, and that would be problematic. But you'd see a good, solid leader anywhere in that SEAL platoon would make those SEAL platoons perform great. And if you had a bad leader in a SEAL platoon, you'd watch the whole platoon fall apart if no one stepped up and took charge and made things happen. This was very evident, and that's another thing that just solidified the principles that the same principles that we teach to businesses are literally the exact same principles that we wrote about in Extreme Ownership are the same principles that we taught to the young SEAL leaders coming up.
Coming up, more with Jocko Willink. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Quesilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Jocko Willink, great American patriot. He stopped by. We chatted a little while ago on the Sunday special. Here's what it sounded like. Okay, so now, Jocko, let's get down to some of the main lessons of leadership. So what's the number one thing you look for in a leader?
Well, the first book was called Extreme Ownership. And what that means is you're not going to make any excuses. You're not going to blame anyone else. You're going to take ownership of whatever happens. And when something goes wrong, instead of pointing fingers and blaming someone else, you're going to take ownership of that problem. You're going to take ownership of figuring out what the solution to that problem is. And you're going to take ownership of implementing that solution. So that is the number one thing that I'm looking for a leader to do, is to take ownership of the problems. And again, we call that extreme ownership. And it was one of those things that was very easy to see in a SEAL platoon, because when someone doesn't take ownership and starts pointing fingers and blaming, well, for instance, right now, if I started pointing my finger and blaming you for something, what's your natural reaction going to be?
You get defensive, get upset. I mean, it's not my fault this broadcast isn't what I wanted it to be.
Exactly. And then what happens is we have a team where I'm pointing the finger at you, you're pointing the finger at someone else, and now we have no one taking ownership of the problems, and therefore the problems never get solved. The opposite of that is when you have a good leader that steps up and says, hey, Ben, you know what? This broadcast didn't go the way I wanted it to. I should have done a better job preparing for your questions. I'm sorry. I apologize. And now instead of you getting defensive, you say, you know what? No, actually, I could have done a better job. And now both of us are taking ownership of the problems and we're going to get them solved. So that's kind of the number one characteristic is someone that has the humility because it hurts. It stings when something goes wrong and you're a leader and you say, oh, you know what? All this was bad situation. It's my fault. I'll take ownership of it. That hurts. That stings the ego. So you have to be humble in order to do that.
How much of leadership is, it sounds like a lot of it is just being good person interpersonally, because it sounds like you can take that same message and apply it to marriage, where it's not really a question of you leading your spouse, but if you start blaming your spouse, the whole thing falls apart nearly immediately. Whereas if you have no expectations of your spouse and it's just you're going to take responsibility for whatever happens, then your marriage goes a lot better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we definitely, as soon as the first book came out, we got all kinds of feedback from people in every type of scenario that when they started taking ownership of their relationship with their wives, with their spouses, it gets better. And obviously, this translates to personal responsibility. Because when you're walking around and you're saying, oh, it's my family and it's the market or it's the way I was raised and these are the things that are holding me back, and all you're doing is blaming everyone else, you don't take ownership of those problems, and that's going to be problematic. The best thing to say is, okay, look, whatever happened, I'm going to take control of what I can. I'm going to go forth and conquer.
So with regard to the future of the country, I mean, obviously, my mind jumps politically, and I think that we're living in an era where there's a lot of political capital to be gained by politicians particularly in telling people that they are victims and that their first move ought to be to blame the system or blame factors outside their control. It seems like you're arguing exactly the opposite. If you actually want to have a happy life, then maybe you first ought to start taking responsibility for the decisions that are within your purview. If you were speaking to people politically, what would you be telling people along these lines?
Yeah, that's 100% right. I mean, if you're blaming everyone else, I can't control you. I can't control these other things outside. I can't control. The only thing I can control is me. So instead of worrying about who else is causing you problems, worry about what you can do to yourself to improve your station. And if you go down that path, you're going to find you have a lot more control than you think you do.
So how do you deal about with situations in which it really is the person's fault, right? So you're taking responsibility for everything, but at the same time, you just have somebody who's screwed up in a serious way. I just read an editorial or an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about a guy who was chewed out at one point by Steve Jobs. He's working at Apple, and Steve Jobs approaches him, obviously the quote-unquote ultimate leader in the tech sector, and he just looked at what the guy was doing and he said, this is garbage, and then he just walked away. And the guy said, well, you know, it made me feel bad at the time, but I realized that sometimes it encouraged me to do better. What do you think of that sort of leadership style? Are there times where you just have to chew somebody out, and is that ever useful?
There are very few occasions, because I'll tell you, from a leadership perspective, if you're working for me and you screw something up, whose fault is that?
I mean, presumably it's your fault for hiring me.
Well, number one, why did I hire you if you can't do the job? But even if, let's say I did hire you. Mm-hmm. Did I give you the right guidance? Did I give you the right support? Did I actually check back in with you and make sure that you had the resources that you needed to get the thing done? Did I make sure that you were trained properly? I mean, there's all these things that I look back at myself and say, if my subordinates aren't doing what I need them to do, that is my fault. Now, to your question, do you occasionally get someone that is either incapable of doing the job for whatever reason? They don't have the cognitive capacity, or they don't have the physical capacity, or they don't have the right attitude to get a job done. Does that happen sometimes? Yes, it absolutely does. You know, we talked about that in the new book. We had my task unit was called Task Unit Bruiser, and we had two guys inside of Task Unit Bruiser that when we went through our pre-deployment training, they didn't cut it. And you know, look, we did everything we could to mentor, to train them, to get them up to speed. But ultimately, you get to a point as a leader where you recognize this person is they're just not capable of doing the job. And I'm putting all my resources into this one individual. And I'm now starting to shun the rest of the team because I'm focused on one person. So I'm actually hurting the rest of the team. So even though I have loyalty and I take ownership of the subordinates that are working for me, at some point, my loyalty to the team will trump my loyalty to one individual. And I have to make a hard decision to get rid of that person.
It's kind of a bizarre question, but my mind is going toward family situations. What do you do with kids? Like, let's say that you have several kids.
I have four kids.
And let's say that one of them is a slacker, and it's not a situation where you can just sort of cut them and fire them. The kid's stuck with it. You got to do what you got to do. How do you determine where to put your resources, given that one kid very often requires more attention than another kid in this sort of area?
The thing with raising kids is, and again, I used to shy away from talking about this because I used to say, you know what, my kids, the results aren't in yet, right? And I don't know where they're going to end up.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, you know, if you, oh, is your kid successful? What does that actually mean? Because my kid could go and make a ton of money, but have a horrible family life and be miserable.
Jerk, yeah.
Right. And be a jerk, right? Is that success? No. Or they could be very happy, but have no money and be living day to day. And that's not successful either. But my kids are a little bit older now and I can see this trajectory that they are on. And quite frankly, I'm pretty happy with the way my kids have turned out. It's a hard thing to look at because you can't fully control it.
Coming up, more with Jocko Willink. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Financially strong insurers. Call 800-715-9880. That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today. Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times,
Life can feel scary, which can leave us hurting and feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. Now, more than ever, we need to be kind to ourselves, kind to our mental health, and find some time and space in these tough times. Mindfulness is something that's helped me, and I hope it can help you too. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer you free content that can ease those feelings of anxiety. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Just breathing. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Jocko Willink, great American patriot. He stopped by. We chatted a little while ago on the Sunday special. Here's what it sounded like.
And so what are you going to do with your kids? You know, I like to, you got to give them guidance, right? But you also have to let them brush up against the guardrails of failure. You know, a simple example that I would say, and I probably have taken some flack for this, is I say, if you're helping your kids, you're hurting your kids. And what I mean by that, something as simple as tying your shoe, right? If you help your kid when they're whatever age, 2 years old, 3 years old, if you help them tie their shoe, you're actually taking away an opportunity for them to develop their fine motor skills. That's really happening at that moment. So if you do that, if you cook them every meal, if you don't let them, you know, get their cereal bowl out, now guess what? They're going to spill milk sometimes and they're going to knock over the cereal. And at the same time, they're developing skills that are going to help them fend for themselves in the world. So what you have to do is you have to let them brush up against the guardrails of failure from time to time. Now, where it becomes challenging as a parent, and thank God I haven't faced anything like this, sometimes your kids will take turns that will ruin their life, right? That will ruin their life. And, you know, obviously, I'm not going to let one of my kids ruin their lives. That being said, if people take a really hard turn and do things that are completely against the parameters that you believe in, and you continue to support them, they're going to continue to take advantage of you. And so I've seen that happen with parents where kids go down the wrong direction. I can't even imagine the catch 22 that you get in that situation where it becomes a drug addict and you want nothing more than to help them. But every time you give them the support that you think is going to help them, you're actually just enabling them. And so again, I'm no expert. What I try and do is put a box around the kids, let them develop, let them grow, and put the guardrails out there. Let them know when they disappoint you. But the other part of this is, and this is another hard thing for people to understand, it was definitely hard for me, your kids aren't going to be who you want them to be. They're going to be who they are. And in my opinion, the more you force them to try and be what it is you want them to be, the harder the pushback is going to be, and you can end up with some real situations.
Okay, so we talked about taking extreme responsibility for attributes of leaders that you look for.
Well, humility is obviously right. The big, if you're not humble, then that's going to be problematic. Now, what's interesting, new book that just came out is Dichotomy of Leadership. And what does that mean? That means that as a leader, you have to be balanced, right? You have to be balanced. Let's just take humility and ego. We're looking for people that are humble. And you can have someone that's so humble that they lack confidence. That's bad. On the other side of that spectrum, you can have someone that's so confident that they're overconfident, their ego's big, and they don't listen to anyone else. Where do you want to be? You want to be balanced, somewhere in the middle. I talked about the fact that you need to be articulate as a leader. That's great. Can you be a leader that talks so much that people stop listening to you? You are a leader that doesn't say enough, and now the team doesn't know what direction they're supposed to be going in. So where do you want to be? You want to be somewhere in the middle. You want to be balanced. And so what we've seen working with, after that book Extreme Ownership came out, we saw leaders, the biggest problem that leaders have, because the last chapter in Extreme Ownership is called The Dichotomy of Leadership. It's talking about these points. But we didn't go deep enough. It was only one chapter. And as we continue to work with leaders, hundreds of leaders, you realize the problem that they suffer the most is they go too far in one direction or the other. So the best characteristic to have as a leader is to be balanced.
There's a certain amount of that authenticity, because how much can you train into being a leader and move you authentically are? So you tend to be a quiet person, train yourself into being the guy who can give a rah-rah motivational speech. Are you better off just perfecting the skills that you already have, or are you better off working on the skills that you lack?
It's interesting you talk about this, the fact of just being loud, right? You said a quiet person. Loud is a characteristic of a good, absolutely is, and especially of being a combat leader. Because if you're in a combat situation and you need guys to move to that door over there, and there's a machine gun fight going on, the only way you're going to do it is if you're loud enough to make that happen. You're loud enough to yell and let everyone know that. I had a guy coming through my training, really smart guy, Ivy League guy, very cerebral, quiet as a mouse. And I said to him, I said, get loud, like your guys cannot hear you. You learn to project your voice. He was, for all practical purposes, as far as I could tell, physically incapable of projecting his voice. And so as I was watching him go through these iterations, I kept saying to him, you've got to be louder. You've got to be louder. Your guys can't hear you. And I didn't think he was going to make it. And then one iteration that they're going through, I see him, he needs to get guys over to this door over here. And he grabs Billy, who is the biggest loudmouth in the platoon. And he goes, Billy, get everyone to that door over there. And Billy goes, Bill, everyone get to that door. And everyone moved. And I realized that he was smarter than me. It was, he could complement an area of weakness that he had with his team. And so, yes, there's ways that you can increase your capabilities. And like I said, you can become more articulate. You can learn to simplify more. You can become more persuasive if you continue to try and talk to people. But maybe something like being loud, this guy just couldn't do it. But he was able to take his team and pull the strengths in his team together to become a better leader himself. And that's always something that a good leader will do. You hear it all the time. Surround yourself with good people. I would add to that, surround yourself with good people that complement the areas that you're weak.
So how do you get a leader who's, let's say, an 80% leader to a 95% leader? Is this somebody who is just lacking motivation, or is it somebody who requires a skill set? Like, what, you have a guy and you think he's good raw material. Are there actual exercises in which you can engage to become a better leader?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the SEAL teams, what we would do is we would run guys through these really complicated training scenarios that I'm talking about. In the business world, we do role-playing with people. And I'll put you in a situation as a leader where I say, okay, I'm your worst nightmare employee. Or not even your worst nightmare. Hey, I'm that older guy that's been doing this for 25 years, and I don't want to change the way I'm doing anything. And you got to get me to change it. Let's go. Let's figure this out. And what you see is 2, 3, 4 iterations of having these hard conversations. People get better at them. That's one aspect of leadership that you can definitely get better at. We run through planning drills so people learn to simplify. We run through communication drills so people learn to simplify their message. There's all kinds of ways to go from that 80% leader to the 95-100% leader.
When it comes to, you know, even in situations, I've seen in warfare situations, how much of the textbook stuff is applicable? I mean, is it just you have to live through it and then a certain natural leadership capacity takes over? Or is it that you can game out all this stuff? I mean, is it possible to really game out crisis scenarios, or is it basically do the best that you can and then you're just doing what you do?
Here's the answer to that. Combat, and this is very counterintuitive to what people might think, combat is an absolute exercise in creativity. And when you're in these situations, you have to have an open mind. You have to know the principles. You have to understand combat, but then you have to be able to take those principles and apply them, modulate them, and utilize them in ways that they may have never have been utilized before so that you can get the outcome that you desire. It's a very creative focused job, and people miss that a lot. And that's why the training that I ran, we really focused on forcing the leaders to get creative to solve problems.
So let's talk a little about some of the leadership examples that we all have in common. So we have, you know, the movies provide us tons of examples of what they see as good leaders. Who are some examples of leaders that you've seen in either everyday life or in politics? Some leaders that you see and you say, that's what a good leader looks like. Because we all have this sort of picture of a leader in our head that it's an Abraham Lincoln figure, tall person who kind of only speaks when necessary. Or the leader that comes to mind for me is what's the name of the actor in Band of Brothers?
I don't know the actor's name, but I know that he's trying to portray Dick Winters.
Dick Winters, exactly. So that's the image that a lot of folks have from pop culture. Who would be, you know, your leaders that you look to and you say, these are the ones who I see as sort of the heroic leaders?
Yeah, I mean, Dick Winters, that's a fantastic example. I've covered his books on my podcast because he's a leader that does every one of these little nuanced things. You can see him do it. And Band of Brothers is an amazing series that really shows the nuances of his leadership. So I think that's fantastic. One of the leaders that I always tried to emulate is a guy by the name of Colonel David Hackworth, who was one of the most decorated soldiers. He served in Korea and in Vietnam, and he wrote a book called About Face, which is about an 800-page book, and it's really not about leadership at all, overtly, but it's 100% about leadership as you read it and if you're looking for those lessons. And he was a guy that, again, he balanced all these dichotomies very effectively. He was completely revered by the people that worked for him. Most of the people that he worked for loved him and loved having him on their team. However, and this is, you know, part of the dichotomy, he's one of the first senior leaders in Vietnam that said, look, if we don't change the way we're fighting this war, we are not going to win. And they drummed him out of the army in a matter of months after that, because, and to me, it was him speaking the truth as he saw it, which I have great respect for.
So when you look at today's politics, obviously it's what I do for a living, and it feels extraordinarily chaotic. It feels like it's a war of all against all. It's sort of this Hobbesian state of nature. Do you see that as a lack of leadership, or is it that there are too many people who think they're leaders fighting with one another?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think we're getting accustomed to this new world where you can get reactions on a minute-by-minute basis. And one of the best ways to get reactions from people is to make statements that are extreme. And so, again, you know, this new book, Dichotomy Leadership, it's about balance. And right now, I would say in politics, we don't find very much balance. We find people on both sides that are leaning towards the extremes all the time. And then that gets greatly amplified by the media.
How much of leadership involves actually having a group of people who have the same common goal? Because one of the big problems that I'm seeing in our politics generally, and I think this is true, you know, just in a fragmenting society that focuses very much on the individual. I'm an individualist. I really believe that people should have the right to do essentially what they want so long as they're not harming anyone else. But it seems like the success of a team, whether it's a Navy SEAL team or any other team, relies on having the same common goal. How much of that can be instilled by leadership, and how much of that is just, you know, you joined the team voluntarily. You knew what you were getting into. And can that be restored if there's a lack of goal-orientedness in the society as a whole?
You have to have some kind of common goal. You absolutely do. Now, without a common goal, you don't know where you're going. Now, where we run into trouble in a team or in the political environment we're in right now is there's different ways to get to that goal, right? There's different ways to get to that goal. I mean, I don't think there's anyone – maybe there are, but generally people want good for the world, right? There's no one that's thinking, hey, we want a dictatorship in America. There's no one that's no normal people are saying that, right? We all have a common goal. We want families to have good lives. We want people to be taken care of. We want you to have opportunity. We want to have a good economy, right? These are all things that are pretty standard. I don't think we're going to get fighting against that. Where we get fighting is how we're going to get there and disagreements on how we're going to get there. And then what we see is we see people that put a stake in the ground on their idea and don't want to listen to anyone else. And in a team environment, that's problematic. It boils down to ego, right? Hey, I'm not going to listen to your idea. I want to go with my idea. And you know what? There'll be no compromise. There'll be no compromise. We're only going to do it my way. And I would rather not execute the mission, not accomplish the mission, than not do it my way. And so when I see that, that's problematic. How do you solve it? Eventually, if you're going to move forward, you have to solve it. You have to find out what those compromises are going to be.
Yeah, and this is where I actually wonder whether that's true. Maybe I have a more pessimistic view of the country than you do actually at this point, because I do wonder whether we agree on the endpoints and we're just disagreeing about the means. I think that a lot of folks, like, nobody's going to come out and say, I want a dictatorship. There are a lot of folks who will say, I would like to restrict X right for this group of people because I think that right as exercised is hurting me. No due process rights for particular sets of crime. We need to shut down this particular sort of speech because this sort of speech hurts me. At a certain point, I do wonder whether we lack even the common language of goals in order to arrive at a common destination. Are you pessimistic or optimistic about the future of the country?
I'm less pessimistic than you are with that and with those type of examples, because I don't see those as – I see those as fringe. And again, I don't live in the same world as you do. You know,
I'm in the worst of the, yeah. I do politics all day. It's the
you're
worst.
In a constant firefight with this stuff. In normal American, I work with businesses mm-hmm. all over the country. And you know what? I hate to break the news to you. Most people aren't watching news 24 hours a day. Most people aren't listening to those fringe people on either side. Most people are out there working hard, trying to make a living, trying to take care of their family. That's what it's beyond the vast majority. It is the absolute vast majority of the people that I work with every day are people that want to improve their station in life. They want to help their team win. They want to do good work. They got pride in what they're doing. That's what most people, construction, manufacturing, finance. That's what these people are doing. And so the fringe people that are out screaming and yelling, they're loud and the media focuses on them. Why? Well, it's because the media wants to get people to click and hear what that crazy person has to say. Most of America, we don't click on that stuff. We don't.
Coming up, more with Jocko Willink. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Jocko Willink, great American patriot. He stopped by. We chatted a little while ago on the Sunday special. Here's what it sounded like. What do you think civilians don't understand about the military that you wish they understood more? Very, very few Americans actually now know somebody who serves in the military or has served in the military. It used to be that a huge percentage of Americans served. Now it's like 2% of Americans serve in the military. What do you think that civilians really ought to know about how the military operates and what the military lifestyle is like?
Well, number one, I think the most important thing to understand about people in the military is that they're people, And these are people with husbands and wives. These are people with kids. These are people with goals. And they're people with emotions. And I think sometimes when you see a picture of a soldier, of a sailor, of an airman, of a Marine, you think of them as that thing, as a soldier, as a sailor, as an airman, as a Marine. And we often forget that that soldier, sailor, airman, Marine, that service member, they are a person and they have a life. And so I think that's what happens when guys come home and they don't have a new mission to focus on. They get a little bit lost and people don't know how to treat them. So I say it's real simple and straightforward. They're people. Treat them like people and give them the respect that they deserve. Absolutely. Because the sacrifices that they make are not, they're not sacrifices made by a robot. They're sacrifices made by a person. And like in my case and the families as well, you know, in my case, when I was on my last deployment to Ramadi, I left my wife at home with three young kids and I knew what I was doing. I knew what my day-to-day circumstances were. My wife didn't know. My wife was at home raising kids and, by the way, going to visit my wounded guys in the hospital, going to my guys' funerals. That is an incredible sacrifice on the home front as well. So I think it's important just to remember that these are people, both the service members and their families.
That's pretty amazing. How did you meet your wife?
I met my wife I was overseas and she was overseas and we met in church.
Pretty good place to meet.
There was beer served at this particular place. Yeah, well, we met in a bar.
She sounds like a pretty amazing person. So what do you think it is about human nature? So let's talk about that a little bit. What do you see human beings as? What is our fundamental nature? Because this is what all of politics is about.
Yeah. Again, one of the most interesting things about human nature is that all human beings are completely different, and yet all human beings are kind of the same. And one thing that you find is that through war and through atrocities is you get to see human nature be revealed. And what I do with the podcast, from my perspective, the better you understand human nature, the better you can lead people, because you've got to understand where they're coming from. You got to understand how their ego is going to react to things. You got to understand, like you said earlier, when people get defensive, how do you get around that? You got to understand what people don't like to expose. You got to understand how they're going to interact with other people, how they're going to come across when you get aggressive or not aggressive enough. So the better you understand human nature, the better you're going to be able to lead. And one of the things, you know, I was just at West Point, as a matter of fact, and I was talking to the soldiers to be up there. And one of the things I was talking about was the fact that I said, listen, you take a platoon, an army, a Marine Corps infantry platoon, a SEAL platoon. Inside that platoon, you've got a person in there that's a sadist. They're in there. You've got some people, you've got another person that is one of the most wholesome, good people you could ever imagine. You got both of them, and you got every person in between. And if you don't understand that as a leader, if you don't understand what these individuals that work for you are capable of, then that's going to be problematic when you're in a leadership position. So understanding human nature, understanding that there's good and there's evil inside of everyone and everyone's capable of going in those directions. You know, I covered the My Lai Massacre on my podcast. And when I was up at West Point, I was talking and I got looks from the crowd, from some of the actual current leaders from the crowd. It was kind of like, wait, what do you mean? We don't have a sadist. We don't have a murderer in a platoon. And I said, you know, think about the My Lai Massacre. The My Lai Massacre was a company of normal people. And it's a horrific podcast to listen to, because normal kids from all over America that you wouldn't think in a million years would commit an atrocity. Once they crossed over that line, they were committing horrible rape, mutilation, and murder. And what was really interesting about this, and when I did that podcast and I tried to bring home something good about it, what I brought home and the point that I took away was that what happened on that massacre, these guys were in a complete melee of murder, rape, mutilation. It was awful. And a helicopter pilot came in, saw what was happening, went back to base, and he told the commander, hey, these guys are out there committing an atrocity. That commander got on the radio, said, stop killing people right now. And you know what? They all stopped. They all stopped right there. And that was proof. That to me is proof of the power of leadership. because it was a bad leader that took them in a bad direction, and they went completely off the rails, and a good leader stepped in and was able to straighten them back out. That's the kind of thing that if you don't understand that element of human nature as a leader, especially in chaotic and combat situations, but even in a business, if you don't understand those things, it's going to be problematic for you.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. America's history will not be changed. President Trump was at the base of Mount Rushmore Friday evening, saying American heroes are embedded in our hearts.
For as long as Americans love this land, we will honor and cherish the father of our country, George Washington. He will never be removed, abolished, and most of all, he will never be forgotten.
The president accused activists who want to remove monuments to Confederate generals and other American leaders of conducting a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. Mr. Trump continued, saying the police and the Second Amendment will never be abolished, and added, "We kneel only to Almighty God." Before heading out of town for the Independence Day holiday weekend, the Senate Friday voted on a number of amendments to the National Defense Authorization Act.
Armed Services Committee Chairman James Inhofe says the work done this week sets the stage for a final bill in coming weeks and months.
Well, we'll be set up so when we come back from the recess, we'll be able to pass this bill.
The bill calls for some $740 billion in defense spending for fiscal 2021. Money, Inhofe says, is well spent.
There's no doubt in my mind that this bill will give our troops what they need. The bill will make American families safer, will enable us to stand up for our democratic values around the world.
Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
Two strong earthquakes shook Puerto Rico Friday, but there were no reports of any injuries. A magnitude 5.3 hit just southwest of the island in the afternoon. That happened just a few hours after a magnitude 4.9 shaker hit in the same region. Check out more news, read the best analysis. They're both at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Trump administration is looking to further tighten the screws on the socialist government in Venezuela.
Federal prosecutors want to seize four tankers that are steaming toward Venezuela with 1.1 million barrels of gasoline from Iran. The civil forfeiture complaint filed in the District of Columbia is the latest attempt to disrupt ever closer trade ties between Iran and Venezuela to heavily sanctioned anti-American allies. Rich Thomason reporting.
A controversial investigative technique is getting its first real legal test in a federal courtroom in Richmond, Virginia, where a judge is being asked to toss out evidence gathered through a geofence warrant in a Virginia bank robbery. Unlike traditional warrants that identify a particular suspect, geofence warrants seek location history data from Google on electronic devices that were used near the scene of a crime. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Texas GOP is moving ahead with a three-day convention in Houston, one of the nation's coronavirus hotspots. This over opposition from doctors and some local party activists. The latest now from Jeremy House.
Party leaders have voted to stick with an in-person gathering starting July 16th. The event is typically one of the largest political conventions in America, drawing thousands of attendees. Some supporters suggested that changing plans is not what President Trump would want. The Texas Medical Association has called for canceling the convention, saying now was not the time to pack thousands of people indoors.
Republican Governor Greg Abbott's not taken a position on whether his party should go forward with the meeting in person. Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz wants millions of dollars in federal disaster aid following destructive anti-police protests that ripped a section of Minneapolis apart following the death of George Floyd at the hand of police officers. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kids' kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I am. That's what I say.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Pretty crazy stuff, obviously. So, there you have it. That's not the only statue coming down, by the way. Other statues that are coming down. There's a statue of Abraham Lincoln that's coming down in Boston. So that's exciting. The Emancipation Memorial is coming down in Park Square. 8-0 vote from the Boston Art Commission. Why? Because apparently it supposedly made emancipated slaves seem too subservient to Lincoln, which is, of course, not true. There's a tape that's been going around on the internet, we played it on the show, of a black tour guide in Washington, D.C., at the original Emancipation statue, pointing out that the black man is getting up off of his knees because he's free, and the chain is in his own hand because he's now in control of his own future. It was commissioned by freed slaves, and Frederick Douglass spoke at the inauguration of that statue, not good enough for Boston. The Boston mayor declared, "As we continue to our work to make Boston a more equitable city and just city, it's important that we look at the stories being told by the public art in all of our neighborhoods. After engaging in a public process, it's clear that residents and visitors to Boston have been uncomfortable with the statue and its reductive representation of the black man's role in the abolitionist movement." Wait, you mean statues are reductionist? Please, name me a statue that is not reductionist in some way. In fact, all depictions of human activity are reductionist in some way. But this was not reductionist in a racist way. It was not about paternalistic President Lincoln and his slave free of agency. That's not what that statue is about. This was removed 8-0. Why? Because the fact is, what is being removed right now is not all the bad things about the statues. What is being removed is all the good things about the statues. Washington is coming down not because Washington was a slaveholder. He's coming down because he was the founder of the country. The reason that Jefferson is being attacked is not because Jefferson was a slaveholder. It's because Jefferson was the creator of the Declaration of Independence. That is the feature, not the bug. Okay, it is not a byproduct of taking down the Jefferson statue. They are taking down the guy who wrote the Declaration. That is why they want the statue taken down. They want George Washington taken down, not because he owned slaves, because lots of people did. The reason that they want the statue taken down is because George Washington is responsible for the creation of a uniquely vicious country. Right? That is the idea here. And this is being made pretty clear. It's being made pretty clear by a lot of the people who are engaged in this sort of activity. They perceive America as evil. They perceive standing up for conservative values as evil. They perceive you as evil. Now, President Trump has taken to tweeting out this graphic of a picture of himself saying they're not after me, they're after you. He is not wrong about this. He is correct. So many of the attacks on President Trump are really not about President Trump at all. So many of the attacks on President Trump are really about attacks on your values. And this is why, you know, the left doesn't understand why so many Republicans feel fealty to President Trump for all of his flaws and all of his faults. Very little of it is about President Trump. Much of it is about the idea that Mitt Romney was attacked in the same way, and so was John McCain, and so will you be. And you watch. If President Trump loses the upcoming election, by 2024, when Republicans are running again, President Trump will have been recast as a visionary bipartisan hero. After all, President Trump passed criminal justice reform, did he not? After all, President Trump cut budget deals. Even Trump cut budget deals. Because this is what the media do. Because the media only hate you in this moment. Right. Anything that can be done historically to make you in this moment seem worse will be done. Or alternatively, any historical figure you revere will be made worse in order to make you look bad. Those are the two conflicting narratives that are brought forth. This is all about creating a sense of moral superiority, unearned moral superiority among people who have not earned that moral superiority. There's an amazing piece in Slate. It's an advice column in Slate, and it really lays this bare. So I rarely read Slate, except that Slate is the id of the wild left wing. It's the uninhibited id. So somebody wrote a letter in to the advice columnist over at Slate. Parent writes, I have three young kids, 10, 9, 6, whom I adore. Due to life circumstances, they live mostly with their dad for the school year. I see them often. They live with me and their stepdad during the summers and breaks. My husband and I are very liberal. My kid's dad is very conservative, like Trump supporter conservative. In my time with the kids, I talk politics a lot and do my best to instill my values while also being very careful not to say anything bad about their dad or his beliefs. For example, if they mention something their dad told them, I focus on saying what I disagree with and why, rather than saying what I really think, such as that belief is immoral. But I can tell their dad isn't exactly reciprocating, right? This is just this lady's way of basically trying to excuse the fact that she's about to rip into the dad for disagreeing. Okay, so here is the advice columnist's response. Do your best to emphasize the other things that are good about your ex and the importance of loving him in spite of his values. Be careful to differentiate between bad politics and bad people, which is bull bleep. But your children can grow up and decide to discard their father for being deplorable when they are old enough to realize the two cannot be separated and that the idea they can is a myth that white folks have been spreading to the detriment of everyone for far too long. This isn't a here's why daddy sucks thing. It's here's why conservative values are evil. You need to make the moral depravity and xenophobia of the right wing as painstakingly clear to your kids as you possibly can whenever you can. This is more than hardball. This is a battle for the souls of your children, and I say do anything and everything you can do to win it. If that includes being the parent who gives the best gifts and lets them stay up latest and eat the most junk food, so be it. If your children become MAGA supporters, you will never be able to live with yourself, and most of us won't be able to live with you either. This is war. Godspeed, comrade. Hey, there's so many members of the left who believe this, and it justifies everything. It justifies shouting at black cops that they are black Judases. It justifies Lululemon wearing single ladies straight from the yoga class screaming in the faces of black cops about how the black cops are implicit members of the racial hierarchy. It's about people who are the most privileged people in history. Let's be perfectly clear about this. If you live in America in 2020, you are one of the most privileged people in history. In all of human history, you are one of the most privileged people if you live in the United States in 2020. You have the ability to pretty much do what you want without the government breathing down your neck. Unless, of course, you decide not to bake a cake for like a transgender transition or something. But freedom is at an all-time high. Prosperity was until COVID-19 at an all-time high. But we are treating each other as though that is not the case. Right? Because when you are infused with a sense of your own moral righteousness, unearned moral righteousness, everybody else becomes an enemy. I mean, that piece is so bizarrely accurate about what so many people on the left really believe. You should bribe your children, give your kids type 2 diabetes in order to make sure that they don't become MAGA supporters, because you won't be able to live with yourself and no one will be able to live with your children. You will have made them outcast forever. Well, let's be straight about this. The right has lost the culture war. They lost the culture war. We lost the culture war. The right focused on electing Republican politicians. The right keeps saying, like, you know, it's weird. We put like something like 15 out of the last 19 Supreme Court justices have been appointed by Republicans, and yet the court has continued to move left and left and left and left. Why? Why? Republicans continue to win elections. Republicans won the presidential elections of 2000, 2004, 2016. Republicans won the congressional elections. Every year between 1994, they didn't lose the Congress until 2006. They regained the Congress in 2010. They held it until 2018. Okay, so that's a lot of political power. And yet the culture war is being lost. The culture war is being, why? Because politics are just the deck chairs. It matters where you put the deck chairs. That does. It matters whether you get the sunny side of the boat or whether you put the deck chairs too far in one direction and it helps tip the boat a little bit too much and it makes it unstable. Like, where the deck chairs goes matters. But if there's a gaping hole in the bottom of the boat and the boat is tilting, it does not matter where you put the deck chairs. All the deck chairs, the deck chairs from conservatives, the deck chairs from liberals, they are all going to slide down the deck in the direction of the leak. And that's exactly what's been happening. The right needs to understand that they are not the culture anymore. They are the counterculture. Understand it. Understand that you are a member of the resistance. You're the true resistance when it comes to the culture. Because let's face it, no one on the left is getting fired for saying anything crazy these days. It's a rare exception. In order to get fired, by the way, you have to go like all the way to the extreme. There's a case of a woman from Harvard just got fired from Deloitte for saying that she wanted to stab members, anybody who said all lives matter. But it took a literal death threat for somebody to get fired. if you're on the right and you say, listen, I think that posting in the black square is just basically virtue signaling and it doesn't help anybody, you get fired for that. I'm getting letters from people who are being bullied into silence, intimidated into not asking basic questions out of simple fear. Keep your head down is sort of the message. The right does not dominate the halls of academia. It does not dominate the halls of Hollywood. It does not dominate the halls of the media. It does not dominate the halls of corporations. Every aspect of institutional power in the United States is dominated top down by the left or by people who are too weak-kneed to challenge the left. The right blew it. The right spent all of its time worried about political power, and they forgot that everything starts with the culture. The only institutional bulwark the right had, churches, the right basically let wither. Allowed the churches to basically become either anodyne because they wanted to keep their 501c3 status, you can never say anything political from the pulpit or connect biblical values to political values, or they just decided, you know what, these kids, they're not really going to understand the old-fashioned Bible, so we're just going to change it around and strum some guitar and hand out some pizza and hope that people come to church a little bit. The institutional bulwarks have failed. The family has fallen apart. 40% of white kids are born out of wedlock. Over 70% of black kids are born out of wedlock. All of the institutions of our society that used to inculcate virtue, those institutions have been taken over by the radical left or by people who are too weak and need to challenge the radical left. Understand, the real battle isn't for elections. The real battle isn't about voting. The real battle is for hearts and minds. That doesn't mean you have to fight like the left and treat people who disagree as anathema and as moral atrocities. It does mean that you better start talking to your family and your friends about actual real values. It means that you need to inculcate in your kids actual real values. And yes, you need to make sure that you bring your kids up in a milieu in which they are respectful of American history and the American way of life and understand the reality of goodness of American philosophy. Okay, coming up, we're going to get to the call for reparations because it turns out that real solutions to serious problems in the country, those have gone completely by the wayside. Now we are forming investigative committees. Ooh, investigative committees, because those are always super duper useful. We're going to get to those in a second. For slavery reparations, by the way. We'll get to that in just 1 second first. So, folks, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show, we have a bunch of other shows over at Daily Wire, and they are all worth listening to. Let Andrew Klavan tell you about his show.
Hi, this is Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show. And I know what you're thinking. You're asking yourself, what can a best-selling novelist, brilliant screenwriter, genius-level satirist, and sexually compelling older gentleman bring to political commentary that you can't get from some fat-faced blowhard screaming self-certain right-wing bromides into a microphone until your brains pour out of your ears like melted candle wax? And the answer is laughs. Lots of laughs. That's right. You see, every free nation that becomes great is eventually destroyed by a hapless cadre of left-wing nudniks who were given everything by their forefathers but proceed to throw it away in a bacchanal of guilt and decadence, plunging the country into chaos, disillusion, and tyranny. And folks, if you don't find that hilarious, well, you're obviously not listening to my show. But it's not too late. There are new episodes Monday through Thursday on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, or DailyWire.com. So get tomorrow's news today guaranteed 100% correct as we laugh our way through the fall of the Republic on The Andrew Klavan Show.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to get to the call for slavery reparations because true solutions, we shouldn't consider those. Instead, defund the police, slavery reparations. This will probably solve the problem. Or maybe this isn't about solving problems. Maybe, again, this is all about the narrative. Always and forever. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we look at all the problems in America today, and you think to yourself, hey, you know what? We could actually look at some solutions. So, for example, the disparity in schooling. Maybe we should give people the option to get out of their crappy local school and move to a better school, like school vouchers or something. Nope, can't talk about that. Maybe we should talk about a police reform act that doesn't prevent police from doing their jobs. It just prevents them from committing acts of brutality shielded by law. Nope, can't talk about that. Got to shut it down. What we should be talking about, according to the Democrats, are slavery reparations. We won't actually do it because that's really unpopular with Americans. You know, the idea of making the descendant of a Jewish immigrant pay the descendant of a Ghanaian immigrant money. That seems like a bizarre notion. But we can talk about it. We should totally talk about it. Now, why is it important to talk about it? Because, again, the message is always and forever that America never recovered from its original sin, never tried to recover from its original sin, that basically the original sin just morphed and became part and parcel of every aspect of our system. This is the Robin DiAngelo white fragility idea. This is what they mean by systemic racism. And infused, this fruit of the poisonous tree. Sheila Jackson Lee was pushing this. So Sheila Jackson Lee, the representative from Texas, 13-term congresswoman, who graduated from Yale and then University of Virginia Law School, so a greatly victimized American. By the way, the daughter of Jamaican immigrants, I believe, she suggested that, she said in public testimony that her grandparents brought her parents from Jamaica through the Panama Canal to the United States. So she's not a descendant of American slaves. She's calling for slavery reparations because obviously America is a deeply evil place from which she has benefited to the tune of 13 congressional terms, a Yale degree, and a University of Virginia Law School degree, which frankly seems to me like a pretty damned great life for anybody in the United States. But here she is claiming that America is innately horribly evil today, and we have to fix the problems of the past by apparently investigating reparations but not doing anything about it would be the goal.
This 13-member commission established by the federal government answers the question that is not the individual act of holding slaves. It is the government's sanction that denied African Americans their equality, and as well the government's responsibility with this 13-member commission to design the responses to the continued death, murder, and inequities in our community. This is America's responsibility to pay, the American government's responsibility to pay her debt.
By the way, I can think of nothing more calculated to actually end real discussion about race in America than slavery reparations. Seriously, because you know what the actual result will be. Let's say that you got slavery reparations. Let's say they actually passed it. And let's say that every descendant of a slave on any side was given a stipend, was given some a grant, a straight grant of money from the American taxpayer. The temptation would be then for Americans to say, okay, we've washed our hands, right? The reparations are to repair. We have done the reparations. Discussion over. Does anyone think the discussion's actually over with the reparations? Of course not. But it's never about the reparations. It's never about policy in the first place. Speaking of which, we're going to get to policing policy and how that is failing dramatically. To fund the police has consequences. We'll get to it in a second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing. Wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
$23,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
I'm Leon Napak, co-creator of the hit podcast Slow Burn. I'm here to tell you about a new podcast I'm working on. It's called 5 to 4.
Where we dissect and analyze the cases that have swarmed American life like locusts over a grassy plain.
Every week, Peter, Rhiannon, and Michael are going to take on a legally dubious Supreme Court decision.
And that rule just so happens to benefit the interests of wealthy and powerful people.
Listen and subscribe to 5 to 4. Free.
That's right.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Welcome back. Well, we have some news. Apparently, Jeffrey Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell has now been arrested. So I guess it's time to start preparing our obits because she'll be suicided very, very shortly. Get those Ghanaian pallbearers ready. Ghislaine Maxwell is, of course, the British socialite and heiress who became a confidant of Jeffrey Epstein, was later accused of involvement in his alleged sexual crimes. She's now been arrested by the FBI. She was arrested in Bedford, New Hampshire, around 8:30 a.m. on charges she conspired with Epstein to sexually abuse minors. She's expected to appear in a federal court. Now, presumably, she'll have some tales to tell because she was a one-time girlfriend of Epstein's and was the alleged procurer of underage girls for a wide variety of famous people. She was also alleged to have helped Epstein groom teen girls for sex with the rich and powerful. One of those teens leveled that charge against Maxwell in a 2015 defamation suit. Of course, Jeffrey Epstein famously did not kill himself killed himself. So there is that. So a lot of people today pre-writing their obits for Ghislaine Maxwell because you just never know what Hillary Clinton's got on her mind this afternoon. So exciting, exciting stuff. Yes, that's a joke. It's a joke. Hillary Clinton didn't kill Jeffrey Epstein, I think. So meanwhile, in today's stupid news, if you ever wonder whether the media are just crazy, are just absolutely out of their minds, there is a story from ABC News, a full-on, like, 8-minute story from ABC News Prime about how national parks are racist. Like today, not in 1950 with the segregated water fountains or anything. Like today, the parks are racist because there are not enough black and brown people going to the parks. I am not kidding. This is an actual full-on news report about how national parks are dangerous for black people. Like, there's not a single shred of evidence here provided that, like, if a black person goes to a national park, that a creepy white person hanging out behind a tree is going to jump out and kill them, Michael Myers style. But that apparently is the basis for this insane 8-minute story from ABC News Prime. I need to play a little bit of this for you because if you don't think that the idea of systemic racism is a bit of an article of faith, I have a bit of catechism for you that may disabuse you of that particular notion. Here we go.
The sweeping vistas stir the soul. Wildlife and waterfalls awaken a sense of wonder. The American wilderness, a playground for old and for young, and overwhelmingly white.
When you look around, you don't see people that you identify with. You don't feel welcome. You feel out of place. You feel literally like you are an outsider.
Ambreen Tarek is found.
I'm sorry, pause it for a second. When I go to the natures, usually it's about the experience of the natures. I don't go around. Like, we've been to a bunch of parks recently with my kids and gone hiking because that's literally all you can do during a pandemic. And there are lots of people there. And I've been to parks where there are a lot of Hispanic folks. I've been to parks where there are lots of white folks. At no point did it occur to me, I really feel unwelcome because all of these hiking people, they're not of my race. Don't see a lot of Jews out here at the park. Park. What do you have to say, inanimate park? Literally, it's an open space that everyone is welcome to visit. I got nothing for you. There's no segregation on the books. There hasn't been segregation at America's national parks since, you know, the 1960s. And yet, the headline here, by the way, is Great White Outdoors in U.S. The trees and the rocks are inherently, all things are racist. All of them. Racism at the national parks. Continue with the silliness.
Founder of Brown People Camping. When she was 8 years old, her family moved from India to Minnesota, where she fell in love with the outdoors. 20 years later, she's still astonished not to see more people like her.
Some people might say, isn't this just that people of color don't like to camp?
Yeah. And to that, I would say no, right? That's a generalization. And they're just because something isn't happening or the presence of someone is missing does not mean they don't want to be there.
Okay, can you pause it for a second? No, it pretty much means they don't want to be there. I mean, like, I'm just going to put it out there that if you're not going to the park, which is, like, free most of the time, and you don't go to the park, because, like, my family, we've never been camping. The Jews, not huge on camping. Hey, I'll do a generalization here. The Jews, like, you go to a national park, you're not going to see, like, a bevy of Orthodox Jews. Okay, it's just not a thing that lots of Jews do. Like, you go to the Five Towns in New York, that crowd is not, like, the camping crowd. Right? Like, it might be, like, in some areas of the Jewish community, it might be, like, the glamping crowd, right? Like, you get, like, a nice RV or something. But, like, Jews camping is the beginning of a joke. It is not, like, a... So the idea that all cultures are equally apt to camp, and that absent any other... Like, it's just such a perfect and stupid example of the idea that if there's any disparity, it must be discrimination. That maybe the reason that... Maybe people don't culturally like to camp in the same way. You know, like, there's lots of stuff that... Like, come on. Like, really? Really? If they're not showing up to camp, it must be because there's a shadowy white person hiding behind the outhouse telling them that, come on, guys. So what does ABC try to do? They try to link the history of people of color not camping to people of color being afraid to camp because they're afraid that if they go to a park, there will be a lynching. I'm just going to say right now, I do not think that black people going to national parks are deeply afraid they're going to be lynched in national parks. Yeah, I don't know what black people ABC News is talking to, but they don't seem like real people. Like, it's like Robin DiAngelo in her book White Fragility, she actually says this. She says that every time a black person sees a white woman cry, they become scared that they're going to be lynched. And I just think to herself, if she met a black person, that's just crazy. Hey, the idea that black people everywhere are deeply afraid that if they go to a national park, that Bob will grab his fishing gear and he's just going to go after you in the woods. What are we even talking about here? What are we talking about? Here, more from ABC News.
Americans of color, parks, campgrounds, and forest land are stubborn bastions of self-segregation.
After 12,500 miles, 15 national parks, and untold state parks, I saw two black people. She said she saw four.
I saw four.
That was 1995 when Frank and Audrey Peterman took their first road trip to explore the nation's natural wonders. The history of America's wilderness loomed large.
Historically, in the South in particular, many atrocious things that happened to black people are in the woods.
Racism was a factor at the founding of America's national parks, created in part to be an escape.
Pause for a second. This is the trick, right? The trick is bad stuff happened in 1950. Therefore, 18-year-old kids in 2020 are not going to parks because they just know the history of America's national parks and how they were segregated in 1950. Sure. I'm sure that's it. That's probably the most explanatory factor. Probably the reason that people who go to parks are whiter. I'm sure it has everything to do with deep-seated African-American fear that they're going to be lynched in a park. Like, this is just, it's such a perfect case of stupidity. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of other sillinesses, the Washington Post has finally, they're edging so close to the truth here. There is a headline at the Washington Post that is just glorious. The Washington Post headline is, Minneapolis had progressive policies, but its economy still left black families behind. You guys are this close. You're this close. All you have to do is just get rid of the but in that sentence. You're a but away. Minneapolis had progressive policies, but its economy still left black families behind. Just change the but to because, and then you will be there. That's all you have to do. But, of course, the basis of the piece is how could it be that all of these leftist cities turn out to be really, really unequal and have horrible living conditions for black Americans? How could it be? That's weird. That's weird. Ed Morrissey writes over at Hot Air. This analysis of the abject failure of a half century of progressive control of the Twin Cities, and for that matter, increasingly radical progressive control, carries more than a whiff of an assumption that failure was only correlative rather than causative. How could inequality have gotten worse, Tracy Jan, the writer, wonders, especially when state policy also applied progressive principles to the issue? Unthinkable. Taxes for decades have been redistributed from wealthy suburbs to poorer communities to combat inequality. An effort bolstered in recent years by raising state income taxes on the rich. The result, more money for schools, affordable housing, and social services in lower income neighborhoods. But the prosperity fueled by the region's Fortune 500 companies and progressive policies has not translated into economic equality. Instead, the wealth gap between Minneapolis's largely white population and the city's black residents has deepened, producing some of the nation's widest disparities in income, employment, and home ownership. Well, weird. Almost as though progressive policies are a bunch of crap and do not work. almost as though simply redistributing money from one group of people to another group of people does not solve inequality. The typical black family in the Twin Cities earned $39,000, $851 in 2017, $39,851, lower than the median income for African Americans nationally, less than half as much as the typical white family income of $82,371. A quarter of black households lived in poverty, five times the poverty rate for white households. Jan reports experts claim this shows the depth of structural racism. Ah, of course, structural racism. Economists, lawyers, and civil rights advocates in the Twin Cities say progressive tax policies could not make up for other aspects of structural racism, such as access to credit or jobs. It is the God of the gaps. It's the God of the gaps. We tried all the leftist policies that didn't work. Must be structural racism. Can't be the policies that suck. It's got to be the structural racism. As Ed Morrissey points out, there's an inherent flaw in this argument. Actually, two. First, the policy had no impact, ignores that things got worse over the past half century, worse even when compared to national data. Furthermore, the states with the highest amplitude for growing inequality had one thing in common, and it wasn't red state status either. The gulf is starkest in wealthy regions along both coasts, such as New York, Connecticut, California, and Washington, D.C. Equality was highest in Utah, Alaska, and Iowa. Other than Louisiana, the worst states and territories for income inequality were all states that not just vote Democrat in presidential elections, but have become Democratic one-party fiefdoms. All of them have applied progressive policies in the same way as the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. The results have been uniformly the same, failure and decline, at least in terms of inequality. Jan finally tiptoes to the conclusion, says Ed Morrissey. In addition to investing in homeownership programs, Minnesota has created financial incentives for the construction of affordable housing that critics say end up exacerbating segregation. Each year, tens of millions in local and federal subsidies are directed toward poor Black, Latino, and Southeast Asian neighborhoods in the Twin Cities. But, of course, the bottom line is that the complete failure to recognize that the war on poverty programs have not been a boon, that complete failure is deliberate, okay? It's a deliberate failure, the failure to recognize that. And you got to blame something else. So what do you blame? You blame the great miasmatic systemic racism in the sky. That's what you blame. You blame the spaghetti monster of racism, which is really, really well done, Washington Post. Good stuff. Good stuff. By the way, the policies that the left is pursuing make life significantly worse for black people. Significantly worse for black people. In Chaz, four people were shot. The two who died, black. I believe all four may have been people of color. I know at least three of the four were. Over the last month, New York City's homicide rate is at a five-year high. The number of shooting victims is up 42% through June 21st, compared with the same period in 2019. The number of shootings in the first 3 weeks of June was over twice that of the same period in 2019. Defund the police was a call to protect black bodies, was it not? Who's being shot right now when the police go away? Progressive policies are not about making lives better. They are just about making people feel better about themselves. You show you care with the policy. You don't show that you can make the world a better place. It is so irritating to watch the media deliberately ignore the point. It's pretty incredible stuff. So what comes next? The answer is the continuing disintegration of the country. Because if you refuse to acknowledge the things that can fix things, they won't get fixed. Instead, the problems will be exacerbated. If you refuse to acknowledge that the same rules apply to everybody, both in terms of the rules of success and the rules of law, you're not going to be able to have one country. Increasingly, it feels like we are not. Increasingly, it feels like the disintegration of the country is exacerbating and accelerating. Already coming up, so China has now decided that the freedom of Hong Kong is a thing of the past. I know that we're fighting over stupid crap here in the United States, but it turns out that China has decided to end the freedom for 7 million people living in Hong Kong. We'll have on an expert from the Heritage Foundation to talk all about it. Stick around. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Olivia Enos, Senior Policy Analyst in the Asian Studies Center at the Heritage Foundation. Obviously, the big news of the week, and really what should be the big news of the year, it's going to be completely ignored, is the fact that China just completely ended freedom in Hong Kong. Olivia, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So obviously we are too busy worrying about whether people are properly mask wearing in the United States and or dancing in front of cops in giant crowds to worry about the destruction of all freedom for 7 million people living in Hong Kong. But maybe you can get a little bit of history of the situation here. I was told in the 1990s that basically there would be two systems in China. One would be Hong Kong, which would be a free city. And when the British left, that they were going to guarantee the safety of the citizens of Hong Kong. And now it appears that China has basically just declared that Hong Kong is a purely Chinese city. It will be ruled by communist Chinese tyrants. What's the story here?
Well, it's clear that authorities in Beijing have reneged on their promises. Hong Kongers were supposed to be guaranteed the one country, two systems framework that they agreed to in 1997 when the British handed Hong Kong back over to China. That was supposed to last until 2047. Now we're seeing a premature end to that one country, two systems framework that has ensured and preserved freedom for Hong Kongers. This is a serious, serious misstep by Beijing and one that the world should watch very closely. I think that the U.S. Congress was very swift to respond to Beijing's transgressions last year when we saw them introducing the extradition bill that sparked 2019 protests. Hopefully, we will be just as swift to respond. Of course, we saw Secretary Pompeo decertifying Hong Kong, saying that it's no longer sufficiently autonomous from Beijing to merit separate treatment under U.S. law. But we have a lot of latitude to define what that's going to look like, and hopefully the next steps are put in place not only to hold Beijing accountable, but also to preserve liberty and freedom for the Hong Kong people.
So, Olivia, what exactly can the West do at this point? Because obviously the West is not going to get into a military conflict over Hong Kong. It seems like the only tools at our disposal are economic. We've tried some of those tools in the past. Beijing doesn't really seem to care all that much, at least not enough to restore the freedom of the people of Hong Kong. So was the big problem here that this was abandoned in the first place? The British never should have abandoned Hong Kong in the first place. And what exactly can the West do at this point to try and restore some semblance of freedom for the people of Hong Kong?
Absolutely. So, I mean, when Secretary Pompeo reported to Congress that he was decertifying Hong Kong special status, they outlined a number of areas where the U.S. has historically cooperated with Hong Kong. And we have a lot of latitude in where we sort of pull back and push forward. And so I think the U.S. government is currently looking at the various areas where we can continue to cooperate in ways that would help the Hong Kong people. Other things that we can do is in seeking to hold authorities in Beijing accountable, the administration has already issued visa bans against anonymous Chinese officials for the role they play in undermining rule of law there. But we can certainly start looking at financial sanctions as well. And beyond that, I think we should be sort of ready at the helm in the event that Beijing takes an even worse step, perhaps even engaging in some form of military intervention. And we should be prepared to extend priority to refugee status to those Hong Kongers who are in need.
So what should this tell us about our future relations with China? The United States has always had a largely divided mind about China. On the one hand, China has been seen as a geostrategic opponent, a country with very aggressive intent, particularly in that area of the world, and seeking imperialistic takeovers of surrounding nations, including Taiwan. On the other hand, the United States has been very generous in its trade relationship with China for many, many years. The United States has always believed or has historically believed that if we just drew them into the family of nations, they would somehow moderate. That's obviously been untrue. The Xi administration over there, the Xi regime, has now basically entrenched itself for the foreseeable future in Vladimir Putin-style fashion. This is a full-on dictatorship with no chance of changing anytime in the near future. How should the United States be approaching China more broadly, not just on the Hong Kong issue?
Well, you know, I think the Wall Street Journal editorial board got it right in their op-ed this morning when they said that, you know, we now know, and we've known, frankly, for a long time, that we can't trust Beijing at its word. But one thing that we do know for sure is that the Chinese Communist Party is in any sort of foreign policy relationship for its own ends, for its own glory. And everything that the Chinese government does is to elevate and stabilize the role of the Chinese Communist Party. So if there are ways that we can actively seek to undermine the Chinese Communist Party's ability to engage in violations of human rights and in undermining freedom, we should do so. So I think that there's a strong need to use targeted financial measures, whether that's in the context of human rights violations, dealing with the severe, severe human rights violations we're hearing out of Xinjiang, even, you know, to the tune of forced sterilization, forced abortion. It looks like these may be early warning signs of genocide beyond the internment of 1 to 3 million Uyghurs in the political reeducation facilities today. But we've also got to think about that in the trade context. How can we use targeted financial measures to punish Chinese individuals and entities that are, engaging in intellectual property violations and whatnot? We have to continue to be tough on China and call them out not only on security grounds, but on human rights grounds as well, because we've seen what has taken place in Hong Kong and that a threat to liberty is a threat to stability all over the globe.
So, Olivia, you mentioned the possibility of the United States offering refugee status to members of the population of Hong Kong who want to come here. Has there been any movement by the administration on that? Because there does seem to be sort of a bipartisan push to grant people the ability to immigrate here from a country where the flag of freedom is the flag of the United States. I mean, they've been flying these flags in protest, American flags, trying to generate sympathy in the United States, but also recognizing that the Western systems of government are better than the Chinese system of government.
Congress has really stepped up in this regard. We've seen several moves on Capitol Hill proposing some forms of priority to refugee status or other forms of immigration relief to Hong Kongers, whether or not they were involved in the pro-democracy movement or they're members of the business community. I really think priority to refugee status should be extended to all Hong Kongers as a member of a politically persecuted group directly targeted by authorities in Beijing. I think this is a strong move, and hopefully it will gain support and traction at the executive branch level. But, you know, Congress has historically played a wonderful role in elevating human rights issues and often putting the pressure on administrations in order to act. And so hopefully they'll continue to do so.
Olivia, you know, senior policy analyst in the Asian Studies Center at the Heritage Foundation, really appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
All righty, folks. Well, we have reached the end of this broadcast. But don't worry, we'll be back here next week as well. Have yourself a July 4th weekend worthy of remembering, because guess what? It's great to celebrate Independence Day in the greatest country in the face of the planet. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. In South Dakota Friday night, President Trump stood at the base of Mount Rushmore to say our nation's birthday should stir every American.
At those words, every American heart should swell with pride. Every American family should cheer with delight, and every American patriot should be filled with joy.
Mr. Trump says activists who are trying to knock down historical statues and monuments are conducting a, quote, merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. The president's charged speech was followed by a spectacular 18-minute fireworks display. Kimberly Guilfoyle, the girlfriend of President Trump's oldest son, Donald Jr., has contracted the coronavirus. The chief of staff to the Trump campaign finance committee says Guilfoyle was immediately isolated after the positive result to limit exposure. She'll be retested to confirm the diagnosis because she's not showing any symptoms of COVID-19. Don Jr. tested negative but is self-isolating as a precaution. Venezuela oil is going up for bids.
U.S. federal marshals are getting ready to auction off a cargo of 100,000 barrels of gasoline that have been floating in a tanker off the Gulf Coast of Texas for 2 months amid a high-stakes legal fight over American sanctions on Venezuela. The dispute pits one of Greece's most powerful businessmen and owner of popular soccer club Olympiacos against a fellow shipping magnate from Venezuela who has a history of helping out the country's socialist leaders. The ship was hired to transport the gasoline to a ship near Aruba, but along the way, its owners suspected the cargo's real destination was Venezuela and turned back to avoid potentially violating sanctions. Keith Peters reporting.
July 4th birthdays, actress Eva Marie Saint turns 96 Saturday. Actress Gina Lola Brigida turns 93. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
German automaker Daimler says it plans to start talks on selling its plant in Hambach, France, where it's made the smart compact car for years.
Daimler currently has some 1,600 employees at Hambach in eastern France. CEO Ola Kalenius says the company is working to increase efficiency in the light of high investments in electrification and other areas. Board member Marcus Schaefer said that, quote, an important goal for us is to secure the future of the location. He adds another condition for the potential sale is that the current smart models continue to be produced at Hambach.
Jeremy House reports the next generation of smart electric cars is to be produced in China. Heavy rain in southern Japan triggered flooding and mudslides Saturday, leaving at least two dead, more than a dozen missing, and others stranded on rooftops in the southern prefectures of Kumamoto and Kagoshima. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A Florida expert on virus outbreaks is concerned 4th of July activities will make the situation even worse.
A virus expert in one of the nation's hardest hit states, Dr. Mary Jo Trepka at Florida International University, says she thinks it's going to be a very difficult situation for at least a month. She's especially concerned about 4th of July parties, saying people's behavior will be critical this weekend. She's urging everyone to wear masks and avoid congregating in groups.
Jackie Quinn reporting. The Washington Redskins are having a thorough review of their name. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league's been in touch with owner Dan Snyder and supports the step. Snyder says the process will include input from alumni, sponsors, the league, community, members of the organization. FedEx Thursday urged the team to change its name. Nike appeared to remove all Redskins gear from its online store. More at townhall.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
And then while you bleed out, she's going to say, oh, yeah, I got a paper cut because Harvard, that's why. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. The good news is the Democrats are not burning and looting and sacking and tearing down as much as they have been over the last many weeks. There's an election coming, you know, and they want your vote. So maybe the party's decided to dial it down a little bit in the hope that they'll win people over by saying, hey, we're not burning your city anymore. That could be Joe Biden's campaign slogan, too. But don't make us angry again, because we've got more gasoline and we're going to throw a Zippo lighter on it. Ain't nobody's got a Zippo lighter anymore. Much easier to burn stuff back in the Zippo lighter. You know, you can't light a Bic lighter and throw it on something. You can't, and hardly anybody smokes cigarettes anymore. You know, in the old movies and the TV shows, they'd always, gasoline would be pouring, a guy would flick a cigarette over there and, you know, go blow the thing up. But not a lot of people smoke. I guess they smoke dope and crack and cloves or something, the left, the people in the parks. Speaking of which, there was a key arrest yesterday. We are at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. There were one major arrest yesterday, and there may have been additional arrests as well. The Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security has dispatched and deployed a team or teams to go after the crazy radical left, you know, Democrats, mainstream Democrats, who are burning and tearing down our national monuments and statues and so on. The Democrats that control the cities across the country have no interest in that at all, because they're on the side of the mob, basically. In fact, in Boston, the Fine Arts Commission, is that the Fine Arts or the Arts Commission, has gotten involved. They have a replica of the Abraham Lincoln Emancipation Statue up in Boston, a copy. It's, you know, a legit, serious copy. And they've decided to remove it, take it down. Now, at least it's not the violent mob in the street, but it's the mob and the Arts Commission who are now anti-Abraham Lincoln and anti-art. By the time they're done with this, there will be no public art across the country that the hardcore left doesn't approve of. So that's actually what's happening right here. You peel the thing back here, and what's happening is the radical left, the hard left in the United States, is combing the country and destroying or demanding the removal of everything that the radical left objects to. And the only things left, now they're going after Mount Rushmore. I mentioned yesterday, day before yesterday, and we've got an Indian tribe, I guess, going after Mount Rushmore because whatever century it is where they are, it's the 21st century here. And it's time you guys just get everybody. I mean, honestly, let's just get on the same page here. Let's live in the same century. Let's live in the same country. Let's live the American ideal where we're not judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And I see that the content of the character of many on the left side of the aisle, not very good, not very good at all, including this crazy woman from Harvard. We opened with the audio of her from yesterday. We played her up real good yesterday. She is insane, old Clara there. She is a crazy person, and interestingly enough, she hasn't been invited on MSNBC or CNN to be the murder victim hero of the day, but it's a holiday weekend, so she may be called in, yet they'll send a limousine for her. Michael Piercy was noticing that she's got quite a kitchen for somebody who's now an unemployed recent Harvard University graduate. She's got a kitchen that goes on and on. It's bigger than most people's homes, and we know this because she's in there crying and sobbing about how Trump supporters were mean to her or something like that. Mental case, complete mental case. So a lot of lefties, they're going, you know, they're going, still going after everything. But it was very good. One of the psychopaths, his name is Jason Charter. Jason Charter, like a charter yacht. And he is a white guy. He looks kind of like Truman Capote after a weekend bender of whiskey and cocaine and serial killing. He looks kind of like a Truman Capote serial killer combo, this guy Jason Charter. And there have been other arrests as well. They've got 100 cases pending. But this guy is described as the ringleader of the mob in Lafayette Park that was trying to tear down the statue of Andrew Jackson. And he should get 30 to 40 years of hard labor in a Chinese gulag. I think we'll trade him for another prisoner that they're holding over there or something. He can apparently get up to possibly 10 years in jail. And I've noticed that you just announce on the news that you're arresting a couple of people, and suddenly there aren't mobs of people with industrial straps trying to pull statues down. It's called enforcing the law. We keep forgetting everything, or at least a lot of people do in this country. I forget nothing, but they forget everything, and it's amazing. You arrest a Jason Charter or two and say you're going to get actual jail time, and these candy-ass suburban SUV-driving mama's boys who are engaged in this mob violence generally say, wait a minute, somebody's enforcing the law? That's not what I expected. That's not what I've seen in Seattle and Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. But the federal government finally stepped in, and the district government, Washington, D.C., with our Mayor Muriel Bowser of Sha-na-na, and the D.C. Metropolitan Police, and we got like 27 police agencies here, and you come to Washington, tear stuff down, and then nobody does anything. But finally, the federal government has done something, and this creep with his sunken, sullen black eyes, Jason Charter, an Antifa creep, was arrested by the U.S. Park Police and the FBI. The FBI and the U.S. Park Police. Yeah, every now and then the FBI can still do something good. But really, they should be protesting in front of FBI headquarters against what the Comey people, J. Edgar Comey and those corruptniks, have done to the reputation of the FBI. I'm just saying. So there's that. Also, it turns out that Adam Schiffless, you know Adam Schiffless, he is the inchworm. And he had some... It was a congressional junket to Afghanistan in February. And at that time, Adam Schiff's top staffers, he's the chair of the Intelligence Committee, you know, their intelligence gathering. And Adam Schiff's senior staffers that went on this Afghanistan junket were briefed on in February the so-called bounty program of the Russians that the New York Times is touching themselves over. And it doesn't matter, because Democrats are held to a completely different standard by the corrupt news media and CNN and Jake Tapper. Completely different standard. than Republicans are held to, than President Trump is held to. And it looks like maybe Pelosi was made. This is not 100% clear, but it looks like Pelosi may have been made aware of this months ago, too, and she babbled incoherently with her eyes blinking weirdly, like she was sending a signal to the North Koreans by Morse code. And she didn't answer the question, and the dim-witted reporters sat there with their mouths hanging open, and then they all went to Starbucks together or something like that. So there's more to come on that. It's all completely fake. President Trump is, and it really is just completely fake. The whole fake story is completely fake, and it's a classic fake story. They all stick to it, and they clutch their pearls and gasp and pretend that they're outraged by what they've seen, and they're incensed, and they won't stand for it, and they couldn't be fake indignation. Lots of frauds, lots and lots of frauds in this city. But we'll get into a little bit. President Trump going to Mount Rushmore to South Dakota today, July 3rd. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Happy American flag. It's great to live in the greatest, coolest, freest country in the history of the world. We're so much cooler than France. We're so much cooler than Argentina. We're so much cooler than Canada. Canada's nice. It's a big national park. It's America's hat. Thank you for the lumber and the comedians. And we're much cooler than you. I'm sorry. And you guys wouldn't be allowed to sit around and be Canadians if we didn't have you covered on every flank. So you're welcome. Just by the way. But we're the coolest guy. We're not cooler than Russia or Germany or Egypt. We're cooler than every place. We're so much cooler than every country in the world. Japan is really cool. And that's what, there are a lot of countries that are really cool. It's just that we're cooler than all of them. We're better than all of them. We're more successful than all of them. We have the melting pot. We're the first country created based on an idea that humankind and we, the rabble, the unwashed masses, teeming shores and all that good stuff, are capable of governing ourselves, that we're the heroes of our story, that we can be born into squalor and to nothingness and rise like a phoenix and become among the world's greatest people. It's the land of opportunity. Remember that? We are the coolest, great. We have a great history. It's a wonderful history. It's a proud history. We should all be very proud of it. See, what the left hates is humanity. They hate people. They hate history because they hate people. Now, they focus their hatred on the United States, but really it's all of humanity that they despise. They have no faith, no religious faith, so they don't understand concepts like good and evil and the darkness and the light, and that there's a constant struggle going on within all of us. They don't appreciate any of these fundamental Western ideas that some emerged from the Enlightenment, and some, many of them, predate the Enlightenment very significantly. Christendom, for example, Christianity, Western civilization, the Bible, great stuff, but they've rejected all of that. And in the end, what they're left with is bitterness and anger and rage, and that's why I'm a stab you. From Harvard University there was out there on the internet making a, not a fool of herself, but making a psychotic of herself. And she lost her job with Deloitte, and then she cried her way all the way to her giant 90-foot-long kitchen and all this. But in any case, it is the 4th of July, and I was thinking about burgers tomorrow. I've taken to burgers in the iron skillet. I think that you get a nice crispy, crunchy thing. I love the iron skillet, but great on a grill, obviously, as well. But tomorrow is a great, maybe some bottles of Bud Light, day for America and for humankind. And the greatest thing that ever happened to humankind is the United States of America, where we created an idea, where and the authors, even though some owned slaves because it was kind of normal at the time, like millions of abortions are normal now, what are you doing about that? They came up with the greatest idea in the world, that we would all live together regardless of our race, of our religion, what continent we reign from, that we would all come together e pluribus unum, from many we would become one. And the left, I've been talking about this for years, has the opposite idea, and that is from one, they will make many. They will break us apart. They will balkanize us. See the Balkans for an explanation on that. They will tear us apart. They will tear us asunder. They will divide us along lines of race and class and gender, and then they will do it again. Because that's what the left does everywhere in the world. And now the left is here. The Democrat Party has been hijacked, poached. They did so willingly, of course. They're along for the ride. They think it's fun tearing America down. They've been building toward this for many years, teaching anti-American history and un-American history, and now the seeds that they planted are bearing fruit, and they're very excited by all that. But we are easily never forget that, especially this 4th of July. I mean, I know lefties are contemptuous of any suggestion along these lines, but it's 100% true, of course. France was in the 1940s. The French were rounding up their Jews, handing them over to the National Socialist Workers' Party, by the way, to exterminate them all. That's the 1940s. Think how you'd feel if you were French and a liberal like these crazy people in the streets of America. What a terrible history. How about the colonial era? In the 1950s, they're at war in Algeria. They're the ones with Dien Bien Phu and the war in Vietnam, the French, and colonialism all over the place, from the Caribbean to Asia, the French. And it'd be much worse. Their legacy is much, much worse than ours, the French. And we haven't even started on the beephole countries. And then there's the wonderful Native Americans who are victims of everyone. The Native American tribes, nations, were at war with one another constantly. They engaged in some of the most gruesome practices that the world has ever seen when it comes to torturing people for days on end and peeling skin and eating them alive and all kinds of crazy. Not everybody, but a bunch of the tribes. And slavery was, of course, very common, with Indian tribes defeating other nations, and they would take captives and use them as slaves. The Japanese used slaves in the 1940s, millions of them, and abused people and the comfort girls and all that. But never mind that. I mean, that's the history of the world. You don't want to get all tangled up in the facts and history and all that. We are the least terrible country in the world. Our history is the greatest history of now, given that we're only like 5 years old in the scheme of things. What are we, 244? We turn. I'm gonna have to do my math. I always do this wrong. I'm gonna get back to you on that, because every time I do math live, I do it wrong. The greatest country in the world, the coolest country in the world, and the Democratic Party is here to tell you that it's the worst country in the world, and everything about it is corrupt and it must be destroyed. The reality is, they are the corrupt actors. The left are the corrupt actors. Our system is designed to fix things as we go, to make them better. The left's goal is to destroy, to tear down, to demolish, and to pit us against one another. That's the Democrats. So happy 4th of July, Democrats. All kinds of amazing stuff. The Redskins and the Crosshairs from the left, Native Tribe, and Mount Rushmore. They're out to get Mount Rushmore. Really, it's a shakedown. They're going to settle for cash. Everybody knows it going in. This crazy Harvard grad, Clara Janover. Update on her. She's insane. Lots more. Stay right there.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Picture this. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any other possible disaster devastated your town. You're out of power. No lights. No news. That's why federal and state agencies urge you to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries. It comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com. Or call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This offer may end soon, so order today.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's Home Advisor. Home Advisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that Home Advisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
Home Advisor.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
I was minding my own business yesterday. A friend of mine, Brian, who is a federal law enforcement person, sent me a link to a story that made me laugh out loud. It's the kind of thing that could make you angry and make steam blow out of your ears. It's USA Today. It's a, you know, that's what they call themselves, USA Today. It's a newspaper of some sorts, I guess. And they have a headline, Fact Check. This is from June 30th of 2020. Fact Check, colon. They love their colons. And I love fact-checking the fact-checkers because when Democrats fact-check things, they always do it corruptly. And almost all of the fact-checkers are Democrats, so you really can't believe PolitiFact or Snopes. Or you have to double-check them because they're just, they lie all the time. At Snopes, they lie all the time. At factcheck.org, at PolitiFact, they lie constantly. I'd say I give them about a 50% BS score. Because I check them all the time. So here's USA Today trying to do it, and the Washington Post, please. Glenn Kessler and that clown car of people that he's got. Fact check, : Democrat Party did not found the KKK, comma, did not start the Civil War. This is Devin Link typing for the Democrat Party at USA Today. Then they have the claim with another : they say the Democrat Party started the Civil War to preserve slavery and later the KKK. Well, they didn't start the Civil War to later preserve the KKK. It hadn't been started yet, so your grammar right in your lead is awful, horrible. You've misrepresented the question in the first place. As America, by the way, tomorrow we turn 244. I've been saying that we're 244 years old all year. This is what threw me, because I've been saying 244 all year since January 1st. It's pretty easy to do the math, you know, 2020 minus 1776, so 244. But my question was whether we turn 245 tomorrow. The answer is no. I had gotten ahead of myself. We turn 244 tomorrow. Tomorrow is our birthday, and we will officially turn 244, 244 years old. That's very young for a country, especially given that we got tired of chipping golf balls on the moon about a half century ago. But the people at USA Today, they decided to do a fact check on the KKK and who founded it. And it said, I love the way they do this. I'm going to talk to you, expose, reveal, point to one of the many ways they corrupt these fact checks. And they do it by the way they frame what they're checking. Be right back.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Now, this stuff is funny in its own way, the corruption of USA Today and this typist at USA Today and their phony fact check, which is a Democrat Party press release and love letter. Devin Link is the girl from the Steno pool on this particular offense. And the claim is that they're going to shoot down here is that, quote, the Democrat Party started the Civil War to preserve slavery and later the KKK. Now, that's I don't know anybody that's saying that the Democrat Party started the Civil War to later preserve the KKK. So let's start with the illiteracy of the typist to begin with. And then they cite anonymous. This is a big thing these days with fake fact checkers. They cite an anonymous, nameless, faceless person on Facebook that said something, and it's clearly wrong. And so they say, oh, we're going to fact check that. And then they mislead you. And that's what's going on here. They say, as America marks a month of protests against systemic racism, that's what it's against, and statues, too, and many people draw comparisons between current events and the civil rights movement, maybe that's got nothing to do with it, an oversimplified trope about the Democratic Party's racist past has been resurrected online. You mean some people are talking about history? See, and when some people start talking about true history, that's how Devin over here at USA Today characterizes it, as a trope, a tired, boring, old, used up, generally discredited line. But none of that is true. It's not a trope at all. It's the actual history. And he's muddying the waters with talk of the civil rights movement and so on. It's a lot of hooey, right? And then he cites somebody on Instagram. It's a friendly reminder that if you support the Democratic Party, you support the party that founded the KKK and started a civil war to keep their slaves. Now, that's a person who's got an image of an Instagram account. Okay, just a friendly reminder, you support the party that founded the KKK. Now, here's the head of the pin that they're dancing on at USA Today. They're claiming that the party didn't start the KKK. You have to get about 15 paragraphs in through a bunch of drivel and quotes and a bunch of stuff off the internet that nobody cares about. they find some fake historian And the fake historian says, the KKK is almost a paramilitary organization that's trying to benefit one party. It syncs up with the Democratic Party, which really was a racist party openly at the time, the historian Greenspan says. But the KKK isn't the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party isn't the KKK. All right, now, that's in, that, nobody said that the Democratic Party is the KKK. See, they're shooting down something that nobody has said. The Anti-Defamation League, Center on Extremism, that's now run by an Obama administration official, by the way. Senior fellow that told the Associated Press that so many KKK members were Democrats. Listen to this. I love this. Because the Whig Party had died off. That's why so many KKK members were Democrats, because there was no Whig Party. This is what USA Today is saying a couple of days ago. It's because the Whig Party had died off, and Southerners disliked Republicans after the Civil War. Oh, well, that explains it. Just don't say it's the Democratic Party. Now, what they're saying in this sideways, backward, stumbling down the is that it's all Democrats, okay? You have to decipher it. You have to get a cryptologist to sift through the BS that they're peddling here. So wait a minute. The only reason that the KKK was all Democrats is because there was no Whig Party? Is that why? And because Southerners didn't like Republicans? That's the... That's what he says. That's what they're saying here. Despite KKK members' primary political affiliation, the guy said from the Anti-Defamation League, it's wrong to say the Democratic Party started the KKK. See, that's what they're saying. That's the dispute. That's the head of the pin that they're dancing on here. And the reality is, it was started by Democrats. You don't have to say it was the official leadership, like Nancy Pelosi and Tom Perez started the KKK. No, Democrats started. Nobody said that it's, but it is the Democrats make up the party, and the members of the party made the KKK. Just by the way. So this is another fake fact check that, well, you see, they're saying somebody on the Internet anonymously said that it was the Democratic Party. And they say, oh, no, we're going to argue about that. No, well, sure, it was Democrats and only Democrats. It was no Whig Party. And Democrats didn't like Republicans, ipso facto, the KKK. So that's them defending the Democratic Party as ably as they can. It's pretty amazing stuff. Also, they left out a lot of context, like the KKK had died out, this Southern organization, this Democrat organization, rather. And then Woodrow Wilson pretty much brought it back, and D.W. Griffith, the Hollywood filmmaker, silent film, Birth of a Nation, first film shown at the White House by Woodrow Wilson. They're stripping his name off of buildings at schools and elsewhere. So that got me going yesterday, looking at these fake fact checks, and I started looking at more fake fact checks. And I won't go on for long on this, but I found one more that was right in the same lane. And once again, it was USA Today. And this was from June 14th. Now, why are they doing these fact checks? The reason is because the Democrats are tearing down all these statues, the violent party, the Democrat Party, tearing down all these statues. And people like me and other people are pointing out that you're tearing down the history of the Democratic Party. The Confederacy is the history of the Democratic Party. These Jim Crow people, the history of the Democratic Party. These racist senators, the history of the Democratic Party. The racist speakers of the House, Nancy Pelosi is removing four portraits of former speakers of the House. They're all Democrats, and I went through news story after news story after news story and never found any fake news organization mention that all four were Democrats, because they're spectacularly dishonest, corrupt to the very marrow of their bones. That's what the journalism profession is all about now, absolute corruption. Of the 11 statues Pelosi is removing from the Capitol, 10 of them are Democrats, and the 11th had no party affiliation. So it is, it's worth pointing out, and it's worth reminding, as the Democrats go around screaming everybody is racist in your face, when they're exterminating 40% of the black population to this day. They love Margaret Sanger, the racist, eugenicist, abortionist, and they're the party of Jim Crow and everything else. I mean, everything else. Name a blight on our history along lines of race, and there's a Democrat behind the curtain, putting the Japanese Americans into internment camps in the 1940s. We've got a monument to Franklin Delano Roosevelt down in the mall next to the MLK Memorial. And should it be there, or should that come down too, like Woodrow Wilson? Woodrow Wilson, progressive Democrat, racist, segregationist. Honestly, the list goes on and on. So you point this out, and the feckless, hapless, brain-dead news media, in this case, USA Today, comes out and they tell you, well, it's not, you know, you have to sift through the BS language to find out that what they're saying is wasn't the official party apparatus, but obviously Democrats founded the KKK. But it's only because there wasn't a Whig party. If only the Whig party had been around, maybe they would have founded the KKK, is apparently what USA Today is saying. And besides, they hated Republicans. Now, they don't explain why they hated Republicans. It's because Abraham Lincoln and the Union represented the Republican Party. They're the abolitionist party. For Democrats, that's the end slavery, abolish slavery party. And, of course, they hated Republicans because Lincoln had just defeated them in the terrible Civil War. So here's another one from USA Today, and this one is just as funny. Fact check, colon. They love their colons, and they always do that with a fact check. Photo shows Biden with Byrd, who once had ties to KKK, comma, but wasn't a grand wizard. Now, here's the fact check they do. Now, I talk about Senator Byrd. I met Senator Byrd a number of times. I interviewed him at least a couple of times. And he is, of course, the founder of the White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of West Virginia. Did not exist before he created it in the state of West Virginia. West Virginia broke away early on Civil War from Virginia because they didn't want to be a slave state. And Virginia did, so that was hence the creation of West Virginia. And here's the, and then they say the claim, Joe Biden and a grand wizard of the KKK were photographed together. That's the fact check, okay? And here's Joe Biden in the picture with Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, the lifelong Democrat and racist and Klan member and Klan leader, Klan founder. And I make fun of him all the time as he had two major titles that I'm aware of with the White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Number one is Kliegel. He was the Kliegel. This is historical research. That means he's the recruiter. And he had to recruit 150 Klan members in order to get an official Klavan or something. They have a name for the group. I'll have to ask a Democrat. And so he got 150 people to join. And then they had a vote to see who would be the big chieftain. And naturally, they voted him the big chieftain. And his title was, I love this title, the Exalted Cyclops. I always called him the Exalted Cyclops of the Democratic Party. And he was eulogized by Barack Obama, our first black president, also a Democrat. Kind of ironic, I think. So here's USA Today's fake fact check on this one. Joe Biden and a grand wizard of the KKK were photographed together. And then there's they don't even show it here, but there's a picture way down here of Joe Biden with Senator Robert Byrd. And they say a photo is circulating on Facebook and Instagram. Why are you fact-checking Facebook? Are you kidding me? Claims to depict claims, you're already raising an eyebrow, got to be fake, to depict former Vice President Joe Biden with the grand wizard of the KKK. See, what happened was the person that posted it got the title wrong. So they're going to spend 20 paragraphs dismantling the word, all right, the grand wizard, the title, the grand wizard. Biden with grand wizard of KKK. So who, again, is playing you, lying to you? Using you for the votes, creator of the KKK, opposed civil rights of blacks. This is what they're fact-checking. And nothing could be more ridiculous. Yep, that's the Democratic Party. And then they say, well, that's not true. That's because they're literally saying that's not true. And there's the picture of more than one picture. There are lots of pictures. They worked together for years. And then they say, our ruling, we rate this claim that Biden was photographed with the grand wizard of the KKK to be partly false because some of it was not supported by our research. They had to do research. They don't know anything. They're starting from scratch, like newborn babes in the woods every day. Byrd, the alleged grand wizard, in fact, was not one. This is their conclusion here. However, he was the leader of a chapter of the KKK briefly. By briefly, they mean 25 years or so. By his own admit, briefly, like a quarter of a century, most of his adult lifetime. Well, he had a very long adult lifetime. KKK briefly, by his own admission, and he was involved, the KKK. And they left out a word here because they're illiterate at USA Today. Throughout much of the 1940s, according to the Washington Post, their research goes all the way to the Washington Post. This is the research that USA Today did. They read a Washington Post article because they didn't want to get to the truth. Byrd later renounced his KKK ties, calling them the greatest mistake he ever made. Now, here's the problem. In their conclusions here, they, and it's buried in the story, that, and this is kind of funny, he recounted in his autobiography that at the time, you know, the I was such a background impression, therefore I sought to become a member of the KKK in the early 40s. And they leave out that, they airbrush most of the history out. There was no chapter to join in West Virginia, so he created it. But they leave that out. He recounted it in his autobiography that he had written to Joel L. Baskin, the Klan's Grand Dragon in his area. Grand Dragon, they have these titles. Asking to join in order to start a Klan chapter or a clavern, there we go, in his town, really the whole state. Byrd was tasked with recruiting 150 people to the Klan. When he involved enough people to start a clavern, see, he's a popular guy, this is how he started running for office. A unanimous vote among recruits named him the exalted Cyclops of their group. All right, so USA Today knows that he's the founder and the head of a KKK group. And they're here to shoot down the idea that he was photographed with a grand wizard. That's what the fact check is. And here's what you do. You say, well, he wasn't the Grand Wizard. He was the Exalted Cyclops. And then you don't fact check that, because why would you? Why don't you find somebody that called him the Exalted Cyclops on the internet and the Kleagle, and then you can say, yes, checks out as true. Which they could just as easily do, but they find somebody on Facebook that got his title with the Klan wrong, and they say it's false, or at least partly false, because, and then in the conclusion, the finding, which people often just jump to, they don't explain that he was the head of his KKK chapter, he was the Exalted Cyclops, he was the lead recruiter, but technically he didn't have that title, that other one over there. I'm telling you, these guys. Let me just say, these guys. That's our news media. That's fact-checking the fact-checkers. I'm appalled by it all. Listen, we're going to take a break here. Coming right back. We've got a lot. I've got to return. I have an update for you on the crazy Harvard woman that I must stab you. You know, I must stab you woman. She's deranged. She's insane. And she has a lot of support out there. Not from conservatives or Republicans or pro-American people or sane people or rational people, but she's got a lot of support from a lot of Democrats out there. The Democrats were asked yesterday in Congress to defend rioting and violence and tearing down our statues. You'll never guess what they decided to do. Maybe you will. And classical music is more, it's inherently racist. Classical music has to go. It's inherently racist, classical, because white guys. I thought just, wasn't that last week, Beethoven was black? Was it Beethoven or Bach that was black? J.S. Bach? That was Beethoven. Yeah, he's black. That was one of their stories last week. They're quite mad. They're the Democrat Party. They're asking for your vote. Be right back.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Did you see President Trump's latest tweet? He says the new book Blitz is hot and urges you to read it. Trump calls David Horowitz a great author. Get Blitz. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. In Blitz, David Horowitz warns about Antifa and makes stunning predictions about Trump in the coming months. They will shock you. Blitz also reveals the secret billionaires out to stop Trump. Mike Huckabee says if every American reads this book, Trump will win. Mark Levin says Blitz is indispensable. Get Blitz at bookstores or check out the free offer from Newsmax and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com. And don't forget to see David Horowitz on Newsmax TV all this week. Newsmax is America's fastest growing cable channel. Now on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Spectrum, Optimum, Cox, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Mediacom, Wow, and more. Just check your cable guide. And get Blitz today at bookstores or 800-NEWSMAX.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
America's schools are closing, which can be especially tough on students who struggle with poverty, hunger, and trauma. But communities and schools can help. Our organization puts caring adults inside schools to help vulnerable students stay in school. Now, in the face of crisis, we're working beyond school walls, delivering meals to students, helping them access remote learning, doing whatever it takes to help them succeed. To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, welcome back, and happy day before the 4th of July. That'd make it the 3rd of July for Democrats following along. The Redskins National Football League team came under attack yesterday by an orchestrated left wing in America. You know, they hate this Redskins thing. They don't mind, killing millions, but the Redskins thing really gets them. And the field where they play is called Redskins Park, it's called FedEx Park, FedEx Field, because FedEx paid more than $200 million to put their name on the stadium. Now Federal Express is calling for the Redskins to change their name because it's too offensive, you know, Redskins. And when their sponsor paid them $205 million of the stadium, says change the name, you know, they're starting to rattle their cage. Also, Nike, the shoe people, they use slave labor in China to make their their overly expensive shoes. And don't worry about the modern-day slaves. Let's worry about what happened hundreds of years ago, because that's what's important now. And Nike. Now, also, I'm told that Pepsi, the Pepsi-Cola, which is not Coca-Cola at all. It's a poor substitute. I take RC Cola over Pepsi-Cola. But really, Coca-Cola is the real thing, as they say. And now, Pepsi, FedEx. It looks like Pepsi. That's. I don't think they've put out a statement yet. But left-wing groups have sunk their teeth in them, and they're, well, now's the time to go after the Redskins and the name of the team, and to name them something else. The NBC Sports, they're corrupt. They've got a headline from 20 minutes ago. Redskins owner Dan Snyder does not plan to address calls to change team's name. All right? But another arm of NBC Sports has another story, and this is great. It's Michael, as Michael said, the thing going around is that it shouldn't be called Redskins. Excuse me, Redskins Field shouldn't be called FedEx Stadium, because FedEx delivers on Sunday. Bada boom! See, that's a little thing. So NBC News Sports, they've got another one here. Five names you could change. You could change the Redskins to the Washington Warriors. Oh, that's too violent. That's male-dominated. Drips with male toxicity. You couldn't possibly have that. Number two, the Washington Red Tails / Red Tails. They said the same thing twice. That is, of course, a reference to the Tuskegee Airmen, World War II fighter pilots, black fighter pilots in World War II. The Washington Skins. That's kind of creepy. What is like Buffalo Bill? I don't think that. That doesn't sound very good. The Washington Federals / Senators. The baseball team was supposed to be called the Senators. Used to be called the Senators. The Washington Griffins. The Griffins. No, you guys are going to have to go back and think of some more. The Griffins? I don't think so. Old owner of the team. The Senators is the name of the old Washington baseball team. That's going to happen. The Federals, they're already called Federal Express Stadium. I guess FedEx will take them back on if they're called the Federals. The Skins doesn't make any sense at all. They'd have to sell potato skins in the stadium. The Red Tails, Warriors is too toxic. Red Tails, maybe.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.